need to man up.
You need to shut up and jam.
That totally didn't work at all.
Didn't do it for you?
No. You fumbled your lines.
The Exploding Barrel Podcast. Okay.
Well, that didn't take long.
All right. Zen. Because halfway through, I was like, oh, I should say the Squadron of Shame's Exploding Barrel. Then I was going to be like, maybe I can bring it in still. No, I can't. Okay. Hello and welcome to the Squadron of Shame's Exploding Barrel Podcast. This is Michael Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, Ajgai Minotti.
And for those curious, it is May 15th, 2009.
Yes, the date is you know, what I'm supposed
There's
to say.
There's one way for you to not screw it up, is just to not do it at all.
I'm just looking at those audio lines.
They're mesmerizing, aren't they?
They're spiking. I'm in a weird mood. Also joining us is our good friend, Mark Beige Whiting.
Don't stare at the lines. That's my advice.
That's good advice. Shouldn't. Oh, my God. Okay. So, how's everyone doing?
I'm good. It's the Ides of May.
Yes. It is the Ides of May.
You're really out of it right now. No more naps before the podcast.
Oh my God.
For you.
I'm just seeing things.
You sound like you're on drugs.
I am taking drugs.
Well, I know that, but
I'm not, legal ones.
Yes.
I'm on steroids. but I am.
Or sedatives.
Okay. Oh man.
Should we talk about
video games? Here's what's going to happen on the show today.
Wait, I'm already thinking about Charles Barkley showing up as Jim Guyton. I'm already losing it.
Okay. We're going to go through the news.
Yeah, you do this part today. Why do I always do this part?
Because you're the host.
I will not be forced down any longer.
Okay, fine. Be quiet while I do this. Okay, we're going to go through the news. We have the ever-exciting April NPD numbers, which should prove a good time. We're then going to go into the best games of 1999. After that, we'll have the Great American Ajgai Gaming Quiz, where Michael tried to embarrass me. We'll talk about our week in gaming, look at some downloadable and retail releases, and that'll be our show.
It's going to be the whole show right there. Look who it is! It's Chris, our brother! Woo! Chris, come here. Say hi.
Hello. Hi. How's it going?
I'm related to these two.
Hi.
Okay. All right. Man, he had a lot to say, as I was hoping. Mostly hi.
Exciting radio.
Okay. I don't want you to say anything. What's in that JCPenney bag?
Got some flip-flops for Disney World.
Cool. All right, get out of here.
Oh, my God.
What's your...
Well, we just lost all of our listeners. No, I didn't find my memory card. I'm going to bitch about that in a little bit.
Why
later.
Were you at the emergency department?
Chris's
brother hurt his knee. That's awesome.
Okay.
All right, if anyone's still listening, I'm now going to go over the hardware numbers for April.
People like these natural, spontaneous... You never know what's going to happen on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Who's going to walk in next? I don't know.
Jay Allard's coming in next, yeah. All
right. Right. Maybe we'll just play some white noise for the next 2 minutes. I don't know.
I'm not doing that.
I don't... It could happen, though. In theory, that could happen. It's crazy.
Okay, can I please do the show now?
I'm not stopping you from doing anything.
Okay.
You're doing a lot of things because you love it.
Hardware for the month of April.
Wait, when did we start talking about NPDs?
Like a while ago.
Okay. Right, 2 minutes ago.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I love NPDs a lot.
We know.
Good.
So let me just read them. The winner of April, unsurprisingly, is the Nintendo DS at 1,040,000 units thanks to the release of the DSi.
I bought one.
I did not buy one, and until they have some reason to do so, I'm not going to.
Well, our L buttons were broken on our DS Lights.
Yeah, isn't your L button broken too?
Not yet.
Stop, let us trade ours in, and they didn't check, so.
I'm hoping that this will finally be the one where my goddamn L button...
Yeah, it broke on your SP too, didn't it?
Yeah. It's been breaking
it must
on
be
every
the way you, it must be the way you put it in your
no,
pocket.
No, because it's a thing.
I've lost two L buttons. I'm pretty sure that it's just, instead of planned obsolescence on the whole unit, they just manufactured on the button. Specifically. Right. And then they just released Contra 4, and it's over. That's what did it for me.
Right.
Whoops.
But then, like, But you don't hear about this problem. But if you, like, search on the internet, broken out button, you'll see threads and threads of people complaining. It's a widespread problem, but it's not like with the red rings of death where anyone knows about this.
You also get all the witch doctor, you know, remedies for it.
Yeah.
Taking your blowing in it, taking it apart. Forget that.
It took me back to my NES days, blowing into my DS.
Yeah, except this was a button.
Did it fix anything?
It used to for a while, then it stopped. Right around the time the DSi came out. It was well-timed.
I mean, you know what? I can play my freaking SNES and my L button still works.
True.
So the lesson here is that regardless of whether there's a compelling reason to buy a DSi, Nintendo can sell buckets of them.
Lesson here is that my L button is bound to break again eventually.
And what you said. Anyway, the rest of the hardware numbers gets a little bleak.
It's not bleak. I mean, it's just...
It's low.
Well, they're low.
The Wii sold 340,000 units. I think that's the lowest amount since launch, if I'm not mistaken.
There has got to be a saturation point for the Wii, and I would have thought that we'd hit it years ago. But, you know, everybody who wants one...
Well, as I know, we were at Best Buy today, and there was a mountain of them on the shelf. And I was like, wow, that's a lot. And then as you're leaving the store, there's another mountain of them at the entrance I didn't even see. I was like, jeez.
Well, what were Wii sales in April 2008?
April 2008? God, you didn't even
put me
on the spot.
Everyone they could make.
Yeah, I imagine a hell of a lot more than that.
Okay, well, what about it seems like, besides the DS, everything is still in, like, the proportion of where you expect to see them kind of in the, you know, compared to each other.
I read some corporate gloating from Sony today that said that they were up 44% over last year's PS5.
Wow, they must have been really bad off last year.
Yeah, well, let's finish the numbers. The 360 is at 175,000. Then the PS2 at 172,000, thanks to its $99 price drop. The PS3 at 127,000, then the PSP at 116. I mean, frankly, if Sony's happy with those numbers, they must have a pretty low bar.
They're in long haul, man.
They don't have another console cycle
coming up. I want to believe anyway, but yeah, I mean, not high.
The fact that the PS2 can still outsell the PS3
the price cut.
But the thing is, though, if the PS3 had the backwards compatibility, people would probably be buying those instead.
Glad mine still does.
Yeah, jerk.
I mean, to come to its defense, the PS2 is one of the best systems ever.
Absolutely, and if you buy one for $99 now, you get about 3,000 or 4,000 good games that you can play right off of the shelf. But
3,000, yeah, and these are amazing games that you can now get just incredibly cheap.
I just wish it had a wireless controller.
Yeah.
Whatever, I still use the wire controller on my 360.
Well, yeah, because your couch's right by your TV, mine's not.
That's kind of low for the PlayStation Portable, isn't it? Why is the PlayStation Portable taken off so well
for
in Japan?
Because of Monster Hunter,
I mean...
It's literally Monster Hunter. What came out in America? Nothing.
Outside from yesterday, I hadn't picked my PSP up in probably half a year.
Patapon 2 is the first really been like using the PSP significantly since we bought it almost.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that, no doubt.
Yeah.
So they want me to buy lots of PSP units, release good games for it. So that's
honestly, with all these rumors of this PSP Go swirling around, for one, I personally would have...
Did you say PSP Ghost or PSP Go?
Go.
Okay, I heard Ghost.
I mean, I for one would have...
I was like, what PSP Ghost? Yeah, is this the ghost that comes and haunts you after you buy a PSP?
Yes.
Shit, who's going to buy that system?
Oh, exactly. No, but just the fact that that seems all but confirmed may be keeping some of the more in-the-know people from buying the system. But I'll tell you what that's really done for me is, like, I'm wary of buying any disc-based games now because I want to upgrade to a PSP Go. Mm-hmm. And, if that's going to be a discless system and everything's going to be made available for download, I'm not buying anything. Probably why they don't want that getting out.
I felt like a dumbass for buying the PSP2 or whatever it was called about a month before they announced that. And I did the same thing with the DSi when my L button broke. Went out and bought another one. So, I don't know. I just feel the portable guys are ripping me off. Twice shy.
Right. Man, I thought the Red Ring of Death was bad, but I mean, if you got ghosts following you after you buy a system...
Well, the software...
Hey, did you even hear what I said?
No, I'm kind of filtering you out right now. I literally didn't.
Oh,
okay,
God.
So let's look at the software sales. It's a lot of old shit.
What? I'm trying to remember what big came out. And now I'm looking at this. That's the problem. There was no real hardware. I mean, no software that month.
Well, let's see. We got Wii Fit at its usual top spot with 471,000. Pokemon Platinum, which is the new release, I guess, but it's still Pokemon. It's 433,000.
Number 3 blows my mind. And number 1, really.
Number three is Mario Kart Wii. Still hanging on. The
Mario Kart
become
Wii!
Less important.
I know. It has a wheel. You can turn it in your hands. That is the answer.
Man, I just how well is this game sold at this point? It must be like a 5 million seller in the U.S.
pretty
alone.
Good. Then you got Wii Play. Then
Wii Play
somehow
still up there.
Somehow, yeah, I know. Somehow, Godfather 2. Even after hearing Roth talk about it in the latest Squadcast, like I don't know.
This is
a game that's totally cashing in on the IP.
This makes me feel sad for humanity because John Davison just twittered about how he could not believe that it. You know, like it's just exact. I couldn't believe that Godfather sold, but at least it was a good game. If you look at the numbers for stuff like Scarface 2, it's off the charts. And Scarface is a shit game. So
I wonder. Almost wonder if you go into a GameStop, how many used copies of this game you're going to see on the shelf.
I don't
people
know.
Trading
I feel that every ball cap wearing knuckle dragger out there is wants to run around being Al Pacino or doing crime stories. It's like a Grand Theft Auto wake. It's following in the coattails of GTA. I just don't understand that.
I can tell you, like, I have a lot of friends who I don't regard as particularly educated gamers, and like they're all over this game. They went out and bought it because they liked Godfather 1. I even told them, like, you know, the game's not getting very good reviews, and they looked at me with a puzzled look as if I was lying to them, and immediately dismissed what I said because Godfather was so cool.
It's not even the same kind of game, right? Isn't it more like
they said it was still pretty similar when I asked them. I don't know. But yeah, there is that added element. Like you're like a Dawn and you have to like kind of control minions.
Which could be cool.
It could be. I don't know.
Let's see. Then you got Resident Evil 5.
Stronghold over. You just these, but you're not saying the numbers really, but just in general, they're a lot lower than from the last month. Number 10 last month sold 205,000. Number 10 this month sold 91,000.
Yeah.
It hasn't been a big month for releases.
No.
You see, then you got, again, New Super Mario Brothers, then
okay,
Mario Kart DS.
How old are those games? How old are those goddamn games? Are we going to see Super Mario Brothers 3 on the list next?
Okay, now the next game's weird, but I have a solution for why this is.
Guitar Hero
Aerosmith is number 9. Apparently, a lot of places have been selling that game for like $10 with a guitar because they're trying to get rid of it. So I think that's why it charted.
I'd pay $10 for a guitar in Guitar Hero Aerosmith.
Yeah, basically that's what it was.
So Guitar Hero Metallica did not make an appearance?
No.
Huh. Too bad.
Steven Tyler laughs.
Yeah. And then number 10 is Godfather 2 on the PS3.
Yeah, but just lower in general. Would have liked to see MLB 09 kind of hold over stronger. Halo Wars fell off pretty quickly, didn't it?
Everybody who liked Halo took it home, unwrapped it, and realized it was an RTS.
Well, but here's the thing, though. I mean, it sold 639. It's not charted, but still. I mean, look at Resident Evil last month sold 938,000 copies on the 360, and this month it sold 122.
Right.
I mean, it's theoretical that Halo Wars saw the same percentage of drop. It just didn't chart.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just – but even though, how many people do you even hear talking about Halo Wars anymore at all?
There's DLC coming out, so
is there? I didn't even hear
it. I don't know anybody playing it personally.
Right, see,
so
that's what I'm saying.
I would say those numbers are an indication of Nintendo's secret sauce, whatever their Faustian bargain was that allowed them to make these undying games, right? When there are no releases, everybody just buys Mario Kart. I'm just confused as to why that seems to be a Nintendo-exclusive phenomenon. Surely other countries could, or companies could build games with... you know,
long-lasting
kind of long
appeal.
Tail. Yeah, like, I don't know.
They used to. It's just weird. Besides, like, Guitar Hero, they don't really have anything like that.
The rest of it's all blockbuster mentality.
Right, and you know what? I mean, if Nintendo can find a way to rebrand more of their franchises to be kind of games like Mario Kart, which is what I think they're trying to do with Animal Crossing, and it didn't really work out, they're going to be healthy for quite some time here. But, like, how come you, like, don't see, like, for instance, Mario Galaxy coming up all the time? You know?
Part of it, like, the game does have a pretty big pick-up-and-play appeal to it. I mean, you could give that game to a 2-year-old, and they could probably make something happen. Yeah.
Right, I guess so. Well, Mario Kart, I mean, you know, it's even still at our Best Buy, that's the game that's just on display.
Right.
There's Mario Kart, look at this wheel, isn't that fun?
I think that's part of it, too.
I mean, I can attest to the fact that several of my friends who have young children and who have Wiis, they all own Mario Kart, and only a few of them own Super Mario Galaxy.
Right.
Because which is interesting, because they can play it with their kids. They give their kids the wheels, the kids drive, they drive, and it's all good. But something like Galaxy is just over their heads. So if you're talking about parents and kids gaming together, or games which are bought as kind of, babysitter time, I think that may appeal instantly to parents in a way Galaxy doesn't.
Don't you feel like the level of maybe difficulty of a game like a 5-year-old would play these days is nothing like when I was like 5?
You were playing Mega Man 2 when you were 5.
Right. But I mean, like, when I was even babysitting some kids the other day, I wanted to play, anything with them. It was still, and the kid was 5, it was still the sort of I'm pretending to play with him thing. You couldn't actually play anything.
These kids these days.
I don't know. They weren't video games when I was 5, so I have no way comparison.
Were you about to say something about Rock's kids?
Yeah, well, Rock just said that Alex can kick his ass at Halo more than the opposite can go.
Then,
he's 8. So,
that's good.
Maybe
that's
they're training the super soldiers.
Right, right, good. Well, squad member kids, they don't get excuses.
Yeah, they're like genome soldiers.
Right, they have to perform well.
Next.
Yeah, I guess we're done. Man, it's just weird MPDs.
It is weird. Okay, so the first item I have here is something I'm excited about because I'm a fan of video game soundtracks. Capcom has inked a soundtrack deal with Something Else Music Works to bring a bunch of their soundtracks out in both CDs form on the Something Digital store and on iTunes. The games included in the deal, Bionic Commando, Street Fighter 4, Resident Evil 5, Dead Rising, Chop to a Drop, and they'll have Dark Void, Spyborgs, and Monster Hunter and Freedom Unite when they come out.
I'm glad I can buy the individual song from Street Fighter 4, the kind of theme song.
Yes.
Yep.
I can feel coming over me.
And I'm curious to see how the rest of the Bionic Commando soundtrack is, because I love the music that's in the demo.
We gotta play some more Street Fighter 4, everyone.
Is it, the music in Bionic Commando, is it remastered from the old 8-bit?
It's like reorchestrated.
Yeah, if it's the stuff that I saw in the trailer, it gets me excited just listening to it.
Yeah, like the menu screen is like this lilting piano and string version of it. It's phenomenal.
That's pretty good. I know from firsthand experience that the Street Fighter IV soundtrack that's floating around in torrents right now is a direct rip from the arcade cabinets music, and it's only mono. So there's definitely a market out there. I just wish every game company would put their soundtracks on iTunes.
Yeah, especially now that you can. Like, I can understand before the risk of actually pressing CDs and cases and shipping them because it's a niche product. But when you can just throw it on iTunes, like, why not?
As a guy who paid $40 to import a Castlevania soundtrack from Japan when they were CD only.
Or the guy who ordered a Nintendo Power from Japan, a Famitsu from Japan on eBay so he could get the Smash Brothers live CD.
Right. That was a great birthday gift, by the way. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
I remember Square, they did that thing. It was like exciting like 3 years ago when they released all the Final Fantasy soundtracks on iTunes, and they never really followed up on that. They don't update. Like, it's not like, here's the new Final Fantasy, here's the soundtrack on iTunes, or here's Kingdom Hearts.
Well, you need a Final Fantasy first.
There's a gigantic back catalog. On there. There's a huge back catalog of weird ancillary music that Square has, like concerts and stuff that are Final Fantasy concerts that they do in Japan.
Yeah, we have the 2002.
They have
disc.
One of those on iTunes. They have 2000 whatever, the one with a lot of numbers, and that one's really good. But a new one came out not too long ago that's supposed to be really good that I'm interested in.
I'm just saying, like music plus otaku, that's a license to print money. Every company should be doing that.
And there's no risk if you just put it on, digitally. If people buy it, they buy it. It's not, and people will buy it. All right, you can continue.
Okay. So we have a Thief 4 announcement out of Eidos Montreal.
That's pretty much all we have.
Yep, moving on.
It's coming.
It's the same team that's doing the Deus Ex 3 game as well.
Which tells you they have to finish
Deus Ex 3. I'm going to drive to Montreal, and I'm going to sneak into their offices and blackjack each of them while they sleep.
Oh, man.
That is one of my favorite franchises, and much like Indy used to be, they haven't raped the canon yet, so don't screw up.
I need to play Thief.
Yes,
I do. I'm still hoping for a squad mission someday. It'll be fun.
Yeah. So we have word of some kind of fan-voted Rock Band Pearl Jam project in the work. It's a collaboration between MTV Games Rhapsody and Pearl Jam's premium club called 10 Club. It's not clear if this is like a DLC pack, something like the AC/DC thing was, or if it's going to be like a Beatles Rock Band kind of thing. I'm hoping for one of the first two. But they're letting people vote on what songs from their live repertoire will be included in this.
That's a good idea.
It's a good idea. I mean, I don't listen to Pearl Jam.
I like Pearl Jam, so that's cool.
Okay.
I would buy a special guitar just so I could look like Eddie, but...
Right, but if it's like a download pack, I'd be all about that. City of Heroes is launching what's only its second expansion in the game's, what now, 5-6 year run, called Going Rogue. The expansion kind of plays in the old comic book trope of the, like, mirror world where all the good guys are bad and the bad guys are good.
Which is
Star Trek style.
Yeah, I wonder if you get to fight an evil version of yourself. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, kind of neat. They're doing a lot of kind of... It's kind of fun to watch how Call of Duty... City of Heroes is a kind of combating WoW. Just sort of a lot of these kind of interesting, innovative ideas.
When I get back from everything I'm doing in the next 2 months, I kind of want to restart up my subscription so I could try like the Architect and all this
stuff. You know, Chris bought like a new copy of City of Heroes because he wanted to try some of these things out, but he said he just kind of really got bored of it right away. Because the problem with City of Heroes is that the base gameplay, it is really simple.
Yeah.
Just for an MMO.
Sounds like, I think the problem I always have with it is... And whenever I play MMOs, I do this. I play them like a single-player game with other people around.
Yeah, so
this sounds like the kind of game that benefits more from actual group play.
Yes, yeah. It is bizarre how little I actually really want to play with other people. Even when I was playing through WoW again recently, I really was playing a game by myself and other people were kind of around, usually just getting in my way.
Right.
Did you guys see that study this week that said when you allow players to create their own MMO levels in City of Heroes that all they do is create huge dungeons full of treasure? With, like, one enemy in it, and
they just do
Monty Hall runs over and over again.
You think an easy way to limit that is, like, have some kind of hard limit in the game where, like, the more bad guys you put in, you get, like, treasure points you could spend to actually drop your loot.
This is why you never let human beings design anything.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Okay. Now I'm curious to see how you're going to react to this, because if you react one of the ways I think you might have a very good counter argument for you. So according to various sources, because of Xbox 360 file size limits, they're saying there will be no Japanese voice track in Final Fantasy 13. Now it's not clear if that means just in the 360 version or in both versions, which has a lot of, you know, forum dwellers up in arms. What's your take?
I don't know. I'd be surprised if you expect me to say anything other than I don't really care.
Okay, good. Then I still like you.
anybody ever played a JRPG in Japanese that had an English subtract?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, some of the arguments I saw in some of the posts on, like, Destructoid and stuff where people, like, you know, oh, well, you know, when I import Inuyasha, or I don't know, insert random anime name here, that's something a little more niche, and I guess that's kind of still mainstream-ish. But it's like, you know, I always prefer the Japanese track, blah, blah, blah. Except this is Final Fantasy. This is the Madden of JRPGs. I guarantee you, if the option does exist, 99% of the people will never listen to the Japanese track anyway.
Did that even exist in, like, 12 or 10?
I don't even think so.
No, yeah. I watch anime with my wife, and we watch it in Japanese because the animation is synced up to it better. But in a Final Fantasy, I've never really noticed, it's always been English. You know, I've always been reasonably okay with the voices and stuff. I think they've done a good job. There's no reason for me to want to play it in Japanese. So I wouldn't in that case. I'm glad that it's there. If it's on, I'll be buying it on PS3 probably. So, it's nice to have the option, but,
Right. Look, like I said, I don't care. It's just not so much because, like, I dismiss the idea of putting a Japanese track on it, but just I won't listen to it. I just use the English track.
Hey,
I mean,
you know, when they have the Blu-ray, go nuts.
But I don't. I mean, I'm hardly going to be upset if the 360 version doesn't have it.
Right. The only time that language options make any difference to me is when the English voice acting is terrible, like it was in Phantom Brave. I just switch back to Japanese so it turns into that Animal Crossing again.
Right. See, at least bad voice acting in a language, you know, you don't know, it doesn't hurt you.
Doesn't bother you. Yeah.
Except when it's like the girls who are still like, oh my God.
The only exception to that is Onimusha, which totally rocks in Japanese. If you're going to play a samurai game, you need that samurai inflection on top of it. And the one time when I couldn't do that and it was all in English, I think Onimusha 2, it sucked. But the rest of it, it's all good.
Nice.
All right. So we've been finally getting teased with updates for the Team Fortress 2 Sniper Pack coming Well, I'm guessing next week, if history is to be believed.
Oh, that's good. It's good.
Usually 1 week they reveal all this stuff, and the next week it comes out.
I still don't know why they can't do these more than once at a time, because we're going to have all these snipers all over
the
place.
Like I said, by the time we get back from vacation, hopefully that phase will be done.
Right.
But here's what we know. They've revealed two of the unlockable items. The first one's called the Huntsman. It's a bow and arrow.
Great.
You hit enemies with it, it'll pin them to the wall. A headshot is an insta-crit, and it has 1 second charge up to max power. Everyone needs to go to the Team Fortress website and read the write-ups for these things, because they're absolutely hilarious. The next one is called the Razorback. It seems like it's going to be kind of like a passive item you wear. It is a, like, kind of aboriginal tribal mask that the sniper wears on his back with a car battery attached to it. So that if anyone tries to backstab you, they get zapped instead and are temporarily stunned, and you're free to then try to finish them off, you know, safely
by
yourself.
So it's like a one-time-only use protection from freestab.
Right. And
freestab, backstab.
Right. And also the person can't use their knife right after they've stabbed you, too, because it's too hot.
Does it actually hurt them?
I don't know. They weren't – I mean, it wasn't very clear. It's all kind of like a comical write-up. You have to infer everything. We have a new game type called Payload Race. Works like Payload, except both teams have a minecart that they're pushing forward at the same time.
Payload's probably my favorite game tip right now, so that's cool. And also, they had a picture of what I think was a new map, called Pipeline or something. I forget, but yeah, that looks cool. I like that.
We also have two new arena maps coming. They're called Sawmill and Nucleus. Sawmill is notable in that it's the first time we'll have an environmental effect in Team Fortress 2. It'll rain.
There better be some, like, new maps besides two new arena maps.
Well, we'll get the Payload Race map, whatever
but
that
still,
is.
But still, I mean, we still only have two, like, official, maybe three if you count, well, three Capture the Flag maps in the whole game. And now here's two new arena maps? I mean, come on.
Well, I'm sure they're easier to make.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
And, okay, so yeah, they'll probably reveal the next unlock sometime tomorrow or today when you're listening to this, and it'll come out, like I said, probably sometime next week. Bungie has moved to a beta of their render-to-video service. You had to have been a Bungie Pro subscriber before this past Monday to be in this beta. What it is whenever you save a film in Halo, it's really just kind of saving, like the mathematical data in the game. Whenever you watch it, replays it in real time. This will allow you to actually set up the video, send it to Bungie. They'll render it into an actual, like, WMV file and send it to you. It's kind of an expensive process to do that, so there is a charge for it and something called Bungie Points. Don't know how those work yet, but, like, it is like a pay service to do this every time. But, you know, if you really want to do, like, some kind of, you know, machinima with it or whatever, it's not a bad option.
I swear, Bungie is like the R&D for the gaming industry as a whole. Stuff that comes out of their labs, I guess because they're flush with Halo money, is crazy. I mean, you gotta admit, that's crazy shit.
Right. Blizzard has confirmed that the new MMO that they're working on, that we've kind of known about for a little while, is gonna be original IP.
You know what was interesting about this? Like, the way the guy said it, he was, like, responding to someone and says, look, we already announced that the new MMO is gonna be an original IP. Then all, like, every news venue out there was like, we knew that? Lead story.
Yeah.
You know?
Blizzard spoke about MMOs.
Anybody wanna place their bets? On genre or something?
So that's what I'm thinking, because, like, what are they going to do? Because if it's a fantasy MMO, why not make it Warcraft?
It's not going to be a fantasy MMO.
Okay,
they can't compete with WoW, their own product. That's
if it's
nuts.
Sci-fi, then why not make it StarCraft? I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what it's
going
to be.
I'm going for Victorian England.
No, Bungie are smart guys. It's probably, God, who knows, like spies inner city gangsters.
Right. I'm
stuff
hoping
like
it's something that I'm not expecting.
Something that doesn't exist out there right now.
Vikings MMO. There you go.
New IP edge, guy.
Oh, shit, you're right.
You completely missed. That was the worst guess possible. But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it is something. You know, it needs to be something a little bit more, I don't say niche, but like, yeah, something like, that's not just your basic, here's a world and here's the races and here are the classes, now go level up and one use a tank and one use a healer, you know?
Well, yes. I mean, Bungie owns that genre and everybody's been trying to compete with them for years and nobody's been able to
successfully
do it.
You mean Blizzard, right?
Or sorry, Blizzard, yeah.
Yeah, that's twice you said that. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Bees thing.
Blizzard, you know, they're the team leader, they're the hegemon in the MMO.
Ooh, good
space.
Word.
Right. So, if they're introducing a new thing, then you have to expect that it's some sort of market segment out there that's very well researched, that has a potential audience baked in already, and is not currently being filled by Age of Conan or Eve or, like, there's, most of the tropes are crossed off. I have absolutely no idea what this could be.
It's fun to speculate. And hopefully they won't disappoint. I'd be surprised if they do.
Okay. Some sad news. Factor 5 is no more.
Kind of.
Apparently, with the bankruptcy is Brash Entertainment and their supposed Superman game going under, they are just done.
Well, I assume that lair tanking didn't help.
Right.
I mean, you know, this it's a rough business, but...
I guess that kills those rumors that they were making a Kid Icarus game.
Well, I think the rumors were that they were kind of pitching that they wanted to, and I think, again, that lair kind of hurt their chances.
I still say on their head be it. I mean, I was ready to buy lair when it shipped, mm-hmm. and I was gradually talked down by, you know, shit reviews. Mm-hmm. That was theirs to lose, and they lost it.
Right, it's a tough industry. I mean, if you have a very high-profile game and, you know, you build it up to be such, and it really just utterly fails to deliver, you're going to take a lot of heat from that. And at the same time, a game doesn't get released for whatever reason. I mean, you know, it's... You know, you don't get 3 strikes in this industry. 2 is enough to get you out.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to know how much Sony was leaning on them to make it 6-axis only. You know,
yeah, I do feel bad to them about it. But like I said, that game has more problems besides 6-axis.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of design problems that I just did not like in that game at all. Beating up on Lair, especially now that the company is closed, I mean, you know.
Yeah,
we'll leave them alone.
We're going to play with Mike's emotions now. Oh, so well. You say you want to wait for the PSP Go. But how can you resist the draw of a Mystic Silver PSP packaged with Final Fantasy VII Advent Children UMD and a 2GB memory stick duo for Final Fantasy Dissidia?
Okay, wait, what? But it doesn't come with Dissidia, right?
Actually, now that I look at it from reading that, it doesn't sound like it does, but you would think it would.
I mean, if it's just Advent Children, I could care less.
Right, that is a good point.
I don't really, yeah. I mean, I was kind of hoping that there'd be some sort of the new PSP would have support for Dissidia.
Right. Here we go. It's $199. Comes out August 25th. It does have a copy of Dissidia.
Oh, shit.
And Advent Children. And a 2GB memory stick.
For $200?
And it's $200.
Huh. Ooh, and it's cool looking. Now that they see the promotional picture. Oh. Yeah, maybe... we'll see how lame the PSP Go is. We'll see if it's as lame and stupid as I think it might be. Right. And I might actually be into that.
And then I got one more news story here that I just saw pop up in Joystick. I kind of knew a little bit about this, but I didn't want to say anything until it was for sure. So apparently GameTap, you know, they have Sega Saturn games on their service. The Saturn emulation isn't very good, I have to say, from playing Panzer Dragoon 2 Zwei on it. But they did get the distribution rights for Panzer Dragoon Saga. But they're saying that emulation complexity is holding it back, which I'm not shocked about at all.
As someone who owns Panzer Dragoon Saga and is hoping to maybe someday sell it for like $1,000, this is good news for me. I don't want people to be able to just easily play it. Sorry.
Such a jerk.
That's just the truth, guys.
Yeah. There you go with news.
That was a very good news segment.
Oh, thank you.
See, I was giving a lot of credit to me. I thought it was very witty.
Such a jerk.
I'm sorry, you know, you had to jump in there. All right, so let's move on. 1999, guys. Another year in which, really, honestly, PC gaming was where it was. Like, yep. There's some cool things going on with the Dreamcast, but that was pretty much it. All right, so why don't I get started here? First off on my list, I got Age of Empires 2, which was
a phenomenal game.
Yeah, it was just an improvement of Age of Empires 1 in every way.
Age of Empires 2 does something that very few RTSs still to this day don't do well, and that's formations.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Well, do have pro that. I remember they made that one Star Wars game that was pretty much just a completely reskinned Age of Empires
2. Yeah, that was
2.
Weird.
But it was kind of fun.
It was okay.
It was the Star Wars RTS I liked the most. It's also the only time I can ever remember beating you in an RTS, which I was... Oh, no, I beat you in Red Alert 3 the one time we played, too, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's 2. All right, then we have... this is kind of weird, because... It's a mod, but, I mean, Counter-Strike is huge.
Pretty important game.
That needs to be on the list. I mean, it's super significant for what it did for gaming culture. Mod culture, I guess, is the first big time, you know, it's the first big time commercially successful, universally adored mod.
Right. I always want to say at the same time we have Team Fortress Classic on this list also.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
I didn't scroll down that far yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just want to bring it up now. And it's just, you know, because two really big mods. Although it's funny because back in the day, TFC was overtaken by Counter-Strike in terms of popularity. Now, because of Team Fortress 2, that's back on top.
I guess more people are probably still playing original Counter-Strike.
Well, you have like the 1.8 purists versus the Source players.
Do you think more people are playing Counter-Strike than Team Fortress 2 right now?
Not Team Fortress 2, but the original for sure. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what Korea's playing. Like, besides StarCraft, the MMO or that mod scene in the rest of the world is bizarre.
Am I the only person who thinks we're going to be seeing Counter-Strike 2 bundled with Episode 3 of Half-Life 2 if that ever happens?
That'd be something.
Be cool. Be cool. I'd buy that.
Stylized graphics. Everyone's going to love it.
Just don't make it look like Team Fortress 2. Do something with it. Okay. EverQuest, huh? How about that?
Important.
Very important.
EverCrack. Ultima Online technically predates this.
It predates this.
Did you ever try to play this, though, when it first came out?
I never played EverQuest, no.
Interface design, holy crap. Like, that was the most confusing thing ever. It was so player-unfriendly, it blew my mind.
Oh, I mean, you know, give him a break. It was a little early there. Maybe it's better now.
Oh, it is. It basically looks like WoW.
I'd imagine. It should be mentioned that Astron's Call also came out later this year, which...
That was a good game.
Yeah,
I like that Astron's Call.
Fun. That's
still going.
You know,
Astron's Call 2, done.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that when I first played these games, I was just kind of so taken in with the fact that there's these giant worlds I can literally walk around. I literally had a lot of fun just kind of walking and, like, mm-hmm. being like, I'm going to travel to a city. You know, I kind of thought that was cool. You know?
I can remember when these games came out because all of a sudden I was in third year sociology at university at the time, and suddenly there were about 1,000 papers on the market about sociology and virtual worlds. Where there hadn't been before, with people doing protests in EverQuest and I remember this really wonderful paper where a guy compared life in EverQuest to life in actual medieval Europe, saying that basically if you didn't join a guild or you walked out into the wilderness alone, your life was brutal, short-lived, and someone would jump out of the woods and rob you for your cash. But he said the mechanics of the game accurately represented what it was like to live in the, reasonably accurately in the feudal system at the time.
And minus all the elves.
Minus all the elves. But, you know, people would self-organize and dress themselves up in specific, like, green cloaks to signify that they were members of particular groups. And it was neat. It was the first time that, like, human real-world culture kind of had the chance to blend with, an online space like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. People were very taken with it in 99.
Right. Yeah, you still have a lot of papers like that even coming out now. So moving on from the MMO space, Final Fantasy VIII came out. Isn't it strange that it only took them 2 years from 7 to 8, and like nowadays it's like 6 years between sequels?
Yeah, I don't know. Final Fantasy VIII is probably my second favorite Final Fantasy, so I'm pretty happy about this. It's a taste thing. I understand that it's not everybody's cup of tea.
No, I loved it.
I thought it was a great game, and I would love for them to return to the, a smaller cast. I guess the thing, remember, it only had 6 characters, and that was pretty novel at the mm-hmm. time.
Oh yeah, I mean, maybe 7, but even compared to 6, which had like, I can't even remember how many characters.
Right.
Yeah, I'd love to play another RPG nowadays that tried to do a love story straight up. I mean, maybe not made by Japanese people, but it was very audacious in its execution.
Right. When a game has way too many characters, and that was always my problem with Chrono Cross, which also came out this year, and I didn't really put it on the list, but I mean, when it just has way too many, I can't get into it because then no one gets developed. No, but Final Fantasy VIII was fantastic. And I always say, very slow beginning, very slow to get into. But the game has just a lot of cool moments, a neat kind of dual character story thing. I love it. I will not apologize for it. Okay, Gran Turismo 2 also came out, which was, the sequel to the popular racing game. I didn't really play
it. I never got into it.
No car people here, but I understand why it's significant. Sold a lot of PlayStations.
Yeah. And still rumors swirling of that PSP version that's been in the works for like 7 years or whatever.
Is the PSP 7 years old?
Whatever, I don't know.
Right, I understand. Medal of Honor 1 came out, which sort of popularized, well, okay, we had Wolfenstein, but besides Wolfenstein, it was like we started seeing a lot of console, you know, World War II games.
Yeah, funny
call,
story.
Call it the Private Ryan effect, because I
just read an article today, actually, about how Steven Spielberg, you know, this game was being developed by DreamWorks Interactive, who, right before this game came out, because it kind of wasn't doing so hot, he sold it to EA. And then this game came out, and like, boom, it was really popular.
Mm-hmm.
He refers to it as the smartest and dumbest thing he's ever done. I don't know what was smart about it, but there you go.
Hmm. But yeah, I mean, World War II became very popular.
Yeah, I can think of at least 4 different games that had the storming the beach of Normandy scene in there.
Well, this one didn't. That didn't come until Allied Assault on the PC, as I recall.
Right. Because this one...
This one, you were like a SAS agent...
Well, there's this one, then the next one was Underground.
Yeah.
Which
you were a woman in that one. That was a big deal.
Okay, but yeah, there was 2 just on PlayStation 1, and then they kind of jumped. Then with Allied Assault, it kind of became more PC-based. And Allied Assault was the one that kind of, I think everyone thinks of. They think of that big beach scene.
Right.
Right. Persona 2 came out, which I didn't play.
Sword Guy will talk it to death.
Well, he sent me an email. And
yeah, we already have his email.
We're going to be talking about it, don't worry, very soon. Because along with the email, he wrote in giant, big red letters that I'm not allowed to only say one sentence about Persona 2. And it seemed threatening. So we'll give that plenty of time later. Rayman 2 came out.
I love Rayman 2.
It's a very good platformer. And it wasn't a collect-a-thon like so many platforms from that time were.
No, it was about platforming, getting from A to B. And... It still looks good today, too, because they did a great job with the stylized graphics in it.
Right. Some of the 2D sprites against the 3D sprites are a little iffy.
Yeah.
But no, it was a good-looking game. It was a fun game. It was disappointing how Rayman 3 was such a letdown.
Well,
huh?
Well, that's what happens when you start having them talk for no reason.
Yeah.
And Glowbox was voiced by John Leguizamo, because that was necessary.
And now, like, Rayman's not even... He's been written out of the series.
Yeah.
The rabbits have taken over.
Damn bunnies.
How about that? Planescape Torment. Baze, did you play this one?
Planescape Torment is my favorite game of all time.
And oh, okay.
I've played almost every video game worth playing. And, so, yeah. That's,
this is a game I've started
I could talk for 2 hours about it, but I won't. It's just, it's the best written video game that's ever been made.
Right, that's what I always heard. I always mean to get to it someday. Again, it's one of those games I kind of hold off playing. I was like, well, maybe someday the squad will do it, and that'll be cool.
Yeah, every developer who sits down to make a Western-style RPG should be sat down in front of that game and said, this is why you don't let your players create whatever character class they want and do whatever they want in your RPG. You create the characters in the world and set them loose, and how much better the game is for it. It's just wonderful, like, you know, I'll talk Planescape Torment all day, but
I didn't really need to get to that.
It's the only game that I'm too afraid to go back and play again. I don't think I could ever play Planescape again. Because...
Well, every time I get my GameTap account going, it's on there, so I'll start it, and I never keep my save file because I'm just dumb like that. And like, it's slow, and
it's literally slow.
Like, even just to click and walk around that starting area takes forever.
Yep.
Just because everything moves so slowly.
I read a story that the lead writer printed out the script for that game and hung it around his neck like Flava Flav on a chain, and that it was the size of a phone book. There's so much writing there. And, like, I think Fiend was talking to me about this. He said he couldn't go back and play it now because, really, you're reading off of the screen for days and days at a time. You know, it's a game that you read. More than you play in a lot of ways. And, I don't know whether that's necessary for them to have built the world up as much as they had, but, it's a hell of a thing. And the irony with Planescape is that it sat on the shelf at the game store for months and months, and I passed it by every day looking at the ugly ass orange cover with the blue painted guy
too.
That's actually the art director or something who worked on the game. It's one of the dudes who actually developed it. They just put him in makeup and photographed him and stuck him on the cover there. And so I looked at that and I'm like, no, I don't really need a cheap Baldur's Gate ripoff, thanks, when I've actually got Baldur's Gate kicking around. And, boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, I could still remember, like, where it was on the shelf at GameSpot. Or stop, excuse me. And yeah.
I remember at the time, and I'm not really knowing much about the games. All I knew was that you had Baldur's Gate, and then you had Icewind Dale, which was like Baldur's Gate but with more combat, and Planescape Torment, which was like Baldur's Gate but with more story. That was just how I understood it.
Well, yeah, I mean, the world is weird. I was a big second edition D&D player, but I didn't know anything about the Planescape universe. So, it was interesting to take a dive in there. The characters are all really well developed. The story is really great. And I think for me as well, you know, Planescape is my Final Fantasy VII in that it came along at exactly the right time in my life, when, you know, sometimes you play a game and I think that there are golden eyes out there and there are things that just hit people at the right age and at the right time to be really impactful. And not just games, but, you know, people read Catcher in the Rye or whatever at a certain time in their life, and it really makes an impact on them. I was at that stage when I played Planescape, and the sort of philosophical questions that they were posing and the open-endedness of the results and the fact that they sort of let you become enlightened or not as the game goes along. It's just really wonderful. It's an example of how much more people could do with games if they didn't just have save the MacGuffin, you know, or save the world as the objective every time.
Right. And it's kind of thing that just frustrates me with, like, even something like Resident Evil 5 that, you know, go back to there, they accomplish so much technically with the game. It's just disappointing that they just don't even seem to really try, and just with writing and characterization, you know?
I was going to make a spreadsheet a little while ago of the number of times I've saved the world in games and just list on the side the method by what I saved the world from. Cataclysm, 16 results. Virus, 30 results, you know. Madman destroying the world for power, 200 results, right?
Oh,
Planescape would not be on that spreadsheet, and that's what's wonderful about it.
Anyway. All right.
Another game that I actually kind of enjoy because you don't, the main goal really isn't to go save the world. It's actually it's for personal glory. It's Pokemon Gold and Silver.
Getting its DS re-release later this year.
Yeah, how timely, huh? But, you know, this game had a lot of expectations as it was the first sequel.
Many people call it the best Pokemon game.
I remember at the time I kind of still preferred Red and Blue.
It was also great because you could go back to the continent or whatever from Red and Blue.
Right. You don't remember the name.
I'm kind of proud of it, actually.
Oh, yeah. All right. But Gold and Silver, it was just more Pokemon, added more, you know, everything. It was fun. Plus, it was on Game Boy Color now. So, hey, that's good. It kind of started the tradition of every Nintendo, you know, handheld device is going to get its own Pokemon. Although I imagine the DS might be the first one to get two Pokemon generations.
Well, because they're not making another DS for a long time, yeah, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they need to. Here's a game that's very near and dear to my heart, Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Fun fact, Mike hates roller coasters, but he designs damn good ones.
Thank you.
I watch you play this game, and I'm like, wow, I really want to ride that.
Especially the sequel, really, more so than even this one, but this one too. It just, I don't know. Of all the sim-like games, these are by far and away my favorites. And they get a 3 so much.
Yeah, you did. It was weird.
Well, because when you put it in 3D and it's not grid-based,
it was still grid-based, it's just the camera moved.
But something with, like, the height, and it just wasn't the same.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But Roller Coaster Tycoon 1 and 2, I just loved those games. Even today, like, I never quite figured out, like, how to really run the parks properly. I always played on the mode where it was, like, there's no money, and you just have to keep attendance levels high. I never even would beat that goal. But sometimes I'd make parks that were just so, like, I would try to make themed lands, but they're, like, themed to things I like. Like, there's Star Trek land, and here's Nintendo land, you know? And it was just great things like that.
I remember
that.
You did one time, you did like it was two separate roller coasters intertwined with each other that perfectly synchronized.
It
was kind of like a prototype of Dueling Dragons.
Right, I had a dueling coaster called Star Wars, and the one side was represented the light side, the other side represented the dark side. Yeah, green and red going against it. It was cool.
As a person who's never played this game, this talk is fascinating and crazy at the same time.
It's good.
It was an awesome game. I mean, you can just do things because you can, like, put rides underground and, you know, you can kind of mess with the scenery a little bit. And it's a game where you had just enough limitations that you had to be really creative with it.
And if you're a bastard, you could kill a lot of people in this game. Yeah,
that's funny.
You really can. Like, you could build roller coasters that are going to crash and burn. My personal favorite was you can make water slides. And if you made the water slide go down too fast and up too quickly, people just launched in the air.
But I still load up Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 every once in a while. I love that game.
Good game.
And yeah, it still runs well too. All right, here's a couple of fun games. Maybe the only Neo Geo Pocket Color games we have, but we have SNK versus Capcom Card Fighters Clash.
Phenomenal game.
Really good stuff. It was kind of like that Pokemon
worth
trading card
owning the Neo Geo Pocket for.
Yes, it was deep. It was just so much fun. They kind of made a sequel for the DS recently, and apparently it's not very good.
It had a game crashing bug.
Yeah, that's disappointing. But you also had for the Neo Geo Pocket Color. This is still by far my favorite portable fighting game ever. Yep. SNK versus Capcom Match of the Millennium. Just phenomenal. Because the Neo Geo
Pocket, that little nub was great for fighting games.
Because it was very clicky, so you knew if you're making the proper motions for everything. Oh, it's just such a fun game. I had my Ryu Terry Bogard team for the win, man. And I mean, it was one of those things where I've never really played it with anyone else. I always just played.
Well, we never had a link cable,
right,
for it.
I mean, I just had fun with it, anyways. You know. Samba de Amigo, one of my favorite music games.
Not to be confused with the shit-ass Wii version.
Yes. This game was great, mostly because of all of the great, corny Sega songs you can download for it.
Absent from the shit-ass Wii version.
Right. No, give me the Burning Rangers theme song all day long. Not even kidding. Mm-hmm. I'll just play that over and over. Even the original things and the, you know, just normal songs they had on there. I love that. It was a good game. Yep. Also, Shenmue, which was kind of – it's interesting. You had to put it on there.
I think Shenmue is a game a lot of people convinced themselves they liked.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
No one actually – fun to it.
It's pretty easy to be blasé about it these days, but I think for the time it was revolutionary. I mean, it's walking around. I have to have a part-time job sort of aesthetic. It was kind of Grand Theft Auto-y before its time, except with less car blowing up and more – UFO catching.
It was like Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto had any sense of subtlety.
Except, like, the game's plot gave the sense of immediacy, but no one in the game was in a hurry to do anything.
Right, which is a little silly. But, I mean, there's just, like, cool things that weren't in game. Like, oh, you can buy a Sega Saturn and play some Sega games at your home, and you can go out to the pachinko machine, and, you know, just a lot of things. Real-time progression, stuff like that. It really was different, you know, and it was cool. I never played the sequel. Did you?
No.
No?
Okay. Silent Hill 1 came out.
Important.
Yeah, it is. I only got to play Silent Hill 2 from the squad mission, which was a lot of fun.
I replayed Silent Hill 1. My wife and I did all of them back-to-back not too long ago. And
oh, cool.
It holds up pretty well. James, I like it. It needs to... I'm really looking forward to the Wii remake. Because
me too.
I have no idea how they're going to do it without combat, since Silent Hill 1 is one of the few Silent Hill that had, like, really terrifying bosses in it, among other things. But as far as atmosphere and overall creepiness, I think that that 1 actually may even trump 2. There's a couple of really good scenes, and a lot of it is sound. I mean... it's a little dated. The visuals are dated, but the sound is still good. Even this, years later, almost 10 years later. So it's completely incomprehensible without a walkthrough. You're just wandering around in the fog all day. But they do a lot of really neat stuff in it. I just, I think it's a worthy contender.
Cool. We got Space Channel 5 also came out for the Dreamcast.
Great game.
Music game. I kind of missed these old school music games before Guitar Hero, which is kind of why I liked Elite Beat Agent so much, because it kind of harkened back to that older style.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those are fun games. Super Smash Brothers, the original. How about that? It's funny, this game's origins. It started off just like as like a very generic fighting game with just generic characters, and Nintendo said, well, why don't you just throw Nintendo characters in there? And they weren't even going to release it in America for a while, but it did well in Japan, better than they thought it was going to do. So then they sent it over here, and then...
People love mashups.
It's like chocolate and peanut butter. It just makes so much sense when you see it
for the
first time. You know, like, of course, we have Samus, we have Mario. They should fight. I mean, who didn't take their Star Wars action figures and be like... You know, I bet you the Imperial Guard could totally beat up this scout trooper over here.
But then even further, who didn't take their Star Wars action figures and have them fight their Ghostbusters action figures?
Exactly. Right. I want some sort of giant database in the sky where every company that makes a game character above a certain popularity is compelled to upload them into the engine, and then there's just the Ur fighting game.
It's right, yeah, I know. I remember you brought this up before, and I've had the same exact fantasy, where it's just a big fighting game called Versus, and it's just every popular thing ever.
When you start digging into it, there's a lot of games in Japan that we never see that have, like, I was thinking, you know, before Snake showed up in Brawl, I was thinking, oh, I saw the Snake needs to be in a fighting game. He was. He was in, like, two of them already, and the Castlevania guys, all that stuff. People are, their own little stables are compartmentalized, but it only gets really fun when the goulash is made.
Crossovers are fun, you know? But we need more of them sometimes, I think. Alright, System Shock 2, huh?
Good.
This game scared the hell out of me. It's so unsettling.
I have this argument with people who played it. My friends are very split down the middle between Thief and System Shock 2. And I'm on the Thief side of the fence. After I played Return to the Cathedral, nothing Shodan could do would scare me after that. But those who didn't play Thief first were terrified by System Shock 2. And that seems to be how it goes. I thought it was, you know, it's a fantastic game. Shodan is still one of the most memorable villains in video gaming. But, you know, the horror of it, I don't know.
Man, in this year especially, I'm seeing a lot of games that I need to add in my personal shame pile. It's between System Shock 2, Planescape Torment.
Well, System Shock we actually did as a squad mission.
Right, and I was like right before I like found you guys.
The thing that makes it good is that you can download the updated graphics patch and stuff for it now,
right.
So you can actually play it with high res, you know, stuff. So it does, people don't look like they're made out of polygons anymore. But it did a lot of really cool stuff. I think developers are too wimpy these days when they're making survival horror games. One of the things that I remembered out of System Shock 2 really vividly is how your weapons would degrade. And they wouldn't last long, even if you had a good one, and they would fall apart. And nowadays, if you tried to do that shit with something like Dead Space, people would throw a fit. But I remember keeping a sidearm in System Shock 2, a pistol that I had customized out the ass. And that was my, okay, in case of emergency, break glass pistol. You don't use it because you can't afford to let it fall apart. But when you absolutely, positively have to blast motherfuckers, you pull at this thing, the Deckard cannon from Blade Runner, and let the mother that's coming towards you have two in the head. And that added to the tension, you know, just that sense of perpetual collapse. I played it as a hacker, too, which I think added a lot to the game. I did like the three choices of character class, but in any game where you can be a you know, sneaky technologist or a ESP user, I'll go for the technologist.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
I think when the game came out, I pretty much I had fun playing through the tutorials, and that was about all I could handle. I couldn't wrap my head around it.
Go back to it.
Really should, because I'm gonna have a busy summer. I think we'll see. Because I still need to play all the games from 2007 that are getting sequels this fall over again. Finally beat them. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. I mean, I know a lot of people kind of give the series guff now because it got incredibly played out, but that game was just fun.
Oh, yes.
God, I just grind all over the place, you know? Especially in the first few sequels. I love those games.
And supposedly a port of the Dreamcast version of Tony Hawk 2 is coming to the iPhone.
What, really?
Yeah, we'll see how that works.
Well, you know,
we're supposedly going to find out more about this next Tony Hawk game on G4 TV this weekend.
I'm glad that the series took a little bit of a break. They skipped
it
the year finally. Yeah,
it did.
It was getting a little played out. But I like that. The Typing of the Dead, huh?
That was the most bizarre thing that worked ever.
There's a squad mission that needs to happen. Typing
very true.
Friggin' Dead. That went through me and my friends like a wave. We have the PC version. So we missed out on the Dreamcast version with the peripheral of the actual typewriters. But I did appreciate that in the PC port, your characters were walking around with Dreamcasts on their back, blasting House of the Dead people.
Yep.
And, you know, it makes you laugh. It's ridiculous.
It's probably better than the real thing.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. No doubt. Like, the irony of... Or incongruence of a zombie lurching at your head and the word kissy lips coming up that you have to type in 1 second. It's just fantastic stuff.
Rounding off my selections, we have Unreal Tournament and Quake 3 Arena.
Fight.
Yeah, so I remember it was a big deal. Like, it seems like in the long run, Unreal Tournament may have won.
Yeah, at the time I was more Quake 3, but in retrospect, I think Unreal Tournament may have been better.
Well, now Quake 3, it's kind of back as that browser game, huh?
Yeah.
But they were big deals at the time. They saw a lot of mod support, mostly mods that were – a lot of mods that was like, here's the Team Fortress mod for Quake 3, and here's the kind of Counter-Strike mod. But there they were. All right, let's go to David's list, which is always fun.
Oh, wait, hang on. I have Jeff's up
first.
Let's
do Jeff's then.
Okay.
Because Captain Carnage, let's do it. He, first off, he also said Rockstar Tycoon. Agrees with me that it's still fun to play. And, you know, I mean, everyone has fond memories of the roller coasters they made in that game. He says Gran Turismo 2. He said he never played it, but a friend who is a car nut was obsessed with the games. Yeah, I'm the same way. I have a friend who's a car nut who just swears by that series.
Yep, so do I.
No
way. Actually.
Right, exactly. Then there's this game called Roll Cage, which it basically looks like F-Zero.
I totally remember this game. It's phenomenal.
I kind of remember. It was for PlayStation, I think.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it was the one – it was cool because you couldn't turn upside down.
Yeah.
Because you had wheels on both sides. Final Fantasy VIII, he also brought up, although he kind of goes to the whole emo and Squall being too angsty thing for me. Which...
He was never – anybody who says that was never an angsty Squall-like teenager. if you were, then that makes perfect sense. That's
– Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it as much as other people. I have a problem where sometimes people just latch onto one argument for games – and play it out to death.
Here's the thing, all right? You know the thing about story, the sort of cardinal rule of story writing, which is that stories in which the protagonist does not change, their character does not change, are not worth telling.
Right.
Right? You have to start with somebody that is unlikable in a love story like this, so that while, when love changes them to be a likable person, the story has weight to it. And if... You know, if you want your RPG to start with, I don't know, Cloud as a stoic badass and end with Cloud as a stoic badass, then foot in the ass for you. Because you're holding back story development in video games. You're the same motherfuckers that are responsible for me having a Master Chief in three Halos and not changing at all and having not being able to kill him off at the end of three so that they continue to not change him as the series moves forward. End of story.
Man, you just said it. I completely agree with you. I think a lot of people who give this Final Fantasy VIII emo debate, I feel like a lot of them, like kind of like you, AJ, not that you would say this, but just played the first 3 hours of it and got bored. I don't blame people for that, because like I said, that's the game's biggest weakness.
It's
incredibly slow boring.
Absolutely.
Incredibly slow beginning. And with Cloud, I will say in Final Fantasy VII, I thought his character development was okay, but then they ruined it with, like, Advent Children, where all of a sudden he was like exactly how he was in the beginning of Final Fantasy VII.
I hate characters that exist in a time capsule.
Yeah. Right. There's no point to
change
it.
Them or not. Even the original God of War, they were able to take Kratos from unlikable to kind of sympathetic by the end of it.
Right.
Know?
Of course, then we go backwards whenever we start the sequel, which is always annoying. Unless your character is Indiana Jones, really, like, or something like that.
Okay, if you're an archetype, then maybe, but.
Right. That's why, like, for example, like, Nathan Drake probably doesn't see too much character change.
Oh, in Uncharted?
Well, I didn't beat Uncharted. I'm just guessing. Maybe I'm wrong.
Definitely. They, no,
really?
No.
Oh, no spoilers. I'm not done with that game yet.
Yeah, I need to beat that game.
If either of you two haven't finished that, then get thee back to your PS3.
That's what I mean, because, like, the sequel to that, I need to play that, Assassin's Creed, and Mass Effect.
Uncharted is on my top five of all time.
Oh, wow.
Finish it.
I was loving it. I have no idea why I stopped playing it.
I don't either.
No freaking idea.
I've had my PS3 stolen, so there's my reason.
I'm going to get back there, sir.
Okay.
Mario Party. It was the original.
It was fun back then. Yeah, now.
Okay, Pokemon Snap. That was
great
a fun
game.
Concept.
Great game.
Lunar Silver, Star Story Complete. It was a remake of the Sega CD version.
It was a Sega CD game. A remake's coming to the PSP.
Okay. Sega CD game came out in 1999?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that? Command & Conquer Tiberian Sun, which was another RTS. I didn't play much of that one. Final Fantasy Anthology, which he says that's the repackage of the old SNES games.
Yeah, this was 5 and 6.
Which one was 1 and 2?
That was Chronology.
Okay, and then...
No, this was 4 and 5. Then there was the one that was 6 and Chrono Trigger.
No, there was 5 and 6, and there was 4 and Chrono Trigger.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Anyways, Grand Theft Auto 2, which was like the first one but way better. Twisted Metal 4, which he said was some of the most fun he had in a two-player game. Twisted Metal 3 and 4, it was like the camera was too high for me, and I had a hard time with it. I don't know. And then he also mentions Unreal Tournament and Quake 3 Arena.
He's a Quake 3 guy.
And he says, for him, Roller Coaster Tycoon is a lot of fun. It's a toss-up between it and Final Fantasy VIII. Why don't we – all right. Okay, so
here's
Sword
David's
guy
list.
Who loves – I always love – watching these YouTube videos. He sends me this list of all these YouTube videos. And Sword Guy, you find the craziest ass games out there. I love you, man. Because this is, it's always just so much fun. Bangio. It was a reverse bullet hell shooter from Treasure. It's one of those things. You know, it's crazy. IS Internal Section. It's basically like a kind of crazy Tempest modern, you know?
Okay.
Incredible Crisis. Now, this is, it's like WarioWare. Made by the guys who made Superman 64.
Huh?
Yeah. And it's just, it's like, all the minigames I saw, it's like you're like a guy from like an office complex. It was strange. Interesting. Machin X is a first person hack and slash. So,
okay.
which is weird.
Which ties to Shin Megami Tensei, hence why
right.
He's heard
well, it's
of
the
it.
Same artist. It's one of those deals where it was a first person shooter or first person game on the Dreamcast, so you don't have dual analog sticks, so it's weird. Looked interesting looking game. Misadventures of Trombone, which I rented because I liked Mega Man Legends so much.
It was fun.
It played just like it was a huge bomb. But it was a fun game. Those characters were fun, so anything they were in really worked for me. Omega Boost. This is another game that was kind of Panzer Dragoon style.
Made by the Gran Turismo
yep.
guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Persona 2, Innocent Sin. This is
holy wall of text, Batman.
Well, he's a big fan, you know.
He's been on the show playing and talking about Innocent Sin.
Yeah,
I feel that we know Sword Guy's opinions on that.
Right. Well, he just wanted to say, you know, it takes place a little bit after the last one. Just sort of interesting plot about like calling this number. It reminds me very much of like a Persona plot would be in my head.
Is this the one where you fight Yavin? I'm pretty sure that it is.
I know you fight your principal at one point and maybe kill him and things like that. Like, this game didn't get a U.S. release at that time. Just saying it was probably because of things like that. There's a rumor system. You could, like, spread rumors about people to, like, potentially get discounts at stores and stuff like that. Really weird things.
Hitler is resurrected and leads an invasion of Japan.
Yes.
And you could choose to be gay.
Yeah, probably.
No wonder this didn't come out in America.
This is the one with the neutral, middle, and good path, and if you're on the evil path and you side with Lucifer and kill God, and then if you're in the middle path, you side with Beelzebub, and a lot of the stuff in Persona 4 relates back to this. When we were playing through recently, I started digging around on the Mega 10 wiki, just trying to find out all the weird relationships and stuff. It's crazy business.
Right. Apparently, towards the end of the game, there's a lot of kind of Persona 4 does a little throwback to Persona 2, and there's a lot of in Persona 2 fighting like the sort of twisted version of yourself, and you have to come to terms with like the dark side of yourself, just like in the beginning of Persona 4. So there's that. Real Sound, Cause No Regret. Okay, this is weird. This game has no graphics. This is a game for blind people. Cool. I tried watching a video for it, which, as you can imagine, it's in Japanese. I don't understand what's going on. But the fact that this exists blows my mind.
Cool.
There it is again, you know? Revelations, the Demon Slayer. This is another kind of... It says a.k.a. Megami Tensei Gaiden, the last Bible. Okay, this is actually like a Game Boy Shin Megami Tensei game, and it basically looks like Dragon Warrior.
Okay.
But in that universe. Rocket, Robot on Wheels. This is actually a platformer from the Nintendo 64 made by Sucker Punch. It was Sucker Punch's first game.
Yeah, okay.
And you're kind of like a little sort of... motorcycle, unicycle thingy.
Unfortunately, like all in 64 platformers, you spend a good portion of the game collecting all kinds of bullshit.
You have no idea. I was watching the video, and it looked fun, but like he collected so many things.
Goddamn you, Mario
things.
64.
Yeah. Honestly, like he was collecting like parts of a ship, like parts of the alphabet, like and like five other different sets of things. I was like, oh my god. It looked kind of neat, but again, it's just I don't want to collect shit anymore. Silent Bomber, which one? It was like a game he showed us from last year called Trap Gun. It was kind of over-the-head shooter, but just kind of crazy good-looking. It was cool-looking. Vib Ribbon. This is weird.
Never played this, but I want to.
It didn't come out here. It came out in Europe. But it was by the guys who made Prop the Rapper. I know Jeremy Lambie. It's very weird, like, doodle-style graphics. And apparently you can stream your own music off of it somehow.
Yeah, now what would you – you could do this actually with a lot of PlayStation games, just people didn't know it. Like I did it with Ridge Racer. Once the game loaded into the system's RAM, you could eject the game and then put in a music CD, and it would just kind of randomly pull some music off the CD. And that's how this game worked. They were talking, I believe it was last week's Listen Up, when they were saying it would have been really smart to have this be, like, built into the PS3, where instead of, like, a visualizer, it's just VibRibbon for all your music, all right. Which would be cool.
It was interesting looking. Zombie Revenge was basically just a beat-em-up with zombies for the Dreamcast, which was cool. All right, so his other mentions are Beetle Adventure Racing, Bionic Commando, Elite Forces, Chrono Cross, which he says is awesome.
He didn't list Chrono Cross? Yeah, it was a big game.
It was kind of a big game. Here it is. Final Fantasy VIII, which is also awesome. Shut up. Front Mission 3, Guru, Mark of the Wolves, Homeworld. I missed Homeworld. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
I have it on my list. Don't worry. I have a couple that Mike's missed.
Right. Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a second.
Soul Reaver, Metal Slug, First Mission.
Soul Reaver?
You know what? At some point, I got to say, I know some of the people get some of these. Okay,
keep going.
Ogre Battle 64, Strider 2, Super Smash Bros., Planescape Torment, Pokemon Gold and Silver, Pokemon Snap, Power Stone, Rayman 2, Samba de Amigo, Samurai Showdown 2, System Shock 2, Typing the Dead, Unjammer Lamy, and Valkyria Profile. He says his best puzzle of the year came from Gabriel Knight 3. The best name, which continues to this day, was Babies, and the best anything ever was Superman 64. Why don't we get to the Twitter real quick?
Baze, why don't you do yours while I pull up the Twitter, because Mike always forgets to tell me to do this.
Okay, here are some big ones that you guys are forgetting. Soul Reaver, obviously, but it just got said. One of my favorites, I love Raziel. I have a little Raziel action figure in my house. He's a fantastic hero.
That was a really good game.
It was.
Wasn't that one of the first games to have, like, no loading?
I don't know that. I do know that I have recordings of all of the voice acting that was in that game. Mostly it was just long periods of kind of meh, but then Michael Bell and Simon Templeton doing this back and forth, which was fucking fantastic. So there's that. Aliens vs. Predator.
Oh, yeah.
I like Aliens vs. Predator too.
AVP, all the number of hours that me and my friends sunk into AVP was stupid, and we loved every minute of it. I'm pretty sure that Civilization 2 came out in 99, which is the definitive Civilization. So, that's pretty goddamn important. So says my bad marks in the Politics 305 or whatever it was that I happened to be taking that when it came out. Commandos. Commandos, really good. Really good. And again, there's a game that I spent a lot of time in, was a huge fan of the franchise, loved Commandos 2. Series kind of jumped the shark a little bit, but was redeemed by another studio later when they made a game called Desperados, which was Commandos in the Wild West. And if you haven't played Desperados, it's totally awesome. We replayed it last year, and it holds up great.
Cool.
Needs to be remade. So, yeah, those are my suggestions. And Thief Gold came out, which is kind of the definitive Thief.
Okay.
Yeah, I just got to say about Homeworld.
What?
Yeah, Homeworld.
Because Homeworld was great, because this was kind of like that age when, like, a lot of genres are still struggling with the transition to 3D. And this is kind of like one of the first good 3D RTSs that worked. And what this game did that even games to this day don't get right is the scale. Where when that game started, there was like kind of like the opening endgame cutscene of like your fighters flying around, and then they fly next to your huge mothership, and like, you know, the guy, like, they're doing like their radio chatter here, then like, you know, prepare to launch, thrusters engaged. What a beautiful sight. And, like, I just, like, when that guy said that and you see the ship, it is massive compared to everything else. You're like, oh, hell yes, this is amazing.
I remember the game was definitely touted as a sort of a graphical milestone.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
Fantastic soundtrack, too.
Yeah.
They made you feel that space was big. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that was done up until... I mean, we're doing possibly Homeworld as maybe the next squad mission, so I don't want to talk too much about it.
Yeah, but just the other cool thing it did, too, is when you set units to attack... They didn't just, like, fly in front of each other and start shooting, which is kind of a problem I have with, whatchamacallit, the one that Stardock made. It's good.
Sins?
Sins?
Yeah, Sins of the Solar Empire. Like, the ships actually would dogfight each other. when you sent them to attack.
The bombers, the bombing runs, like the slow,
and then you could put on the cinematic camera.
Runs,
it was great.
And you're like, come on, come on, 2 minutes until the bombers get there. Hold out.
This was kind of an exciting time just in general for like, because PC gaming was, it was always like, what genre are they going to invent next, you know? You didn't really, like, you didn't think about genre as much because things were really just being created.
The three-dimensional RTS is the first. That's what Homeworld, that's its contribution.
All right. So a couple things real quick. Zach wanted to say that he would say Tony Hawk or maybe Unreal Tournament. And then AI Impaired said, would it be too predictable if I said System Shock 2?
Well, since his avatar is a picture of Shodan.
Yeah.
No.
Deserves to be said.
Right. All right. Okay.
I need to pick a game.
Jeez, this is hard for me.
This year was bigger than I thought it would be.
The farther we get into the world of video games, the larger this list is going to get every year. You know, like, in 1985, it was like Thundercats in 1985. You could either watch it or not. But now we're getting all postmodern, so there's like 400 games, and, you know, which ones did you play? It's this giant smorgasbord.
Right, it's hard. Yeah. I mean, I feel like the most...
Nobody mentioned Kingpin.
No, I did not need to mention Kingpin.
Come on, Cypress Hill. All right.
I feel like the most important one is probably EverQuest, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know, Planescape Torment has my...
Planescape Torment should have been more important. It should have set more of a precedent.
The thing that was interesting about Planescape is how important it was to the development community. And it still gets brought up. And you're doing schoolyard fights about stuff in video games, writing or whatever, people will haul Planescape out. I don't think it's the most important game of the year, but it's like Fiend said, you know, my heart is in Baldur's Gate last week, but ultimately we got to give the prize to somebody else. My vote's for Counter-Strike. If it has to be one of those things.
That was kind of what I was leaning towards too, actually, just because, I mean, God, that game was huge and basically created this whole concept of mods becoming a place to find new talent and create new product.
It also created gaming as a sport in a worldwide way that we hadn't seen before. But Evercrack would also be a very legitimate choice. I mean, it's the first MMO and the biggest for years.
So like you said, too, Asheron's Call came out that same year, and I think that was actually better.
You know, if I had to go with just my favorite, I would say Final Fantasy VIII. But again, I'd have a hard time really saying on the important side, or even I know AJ, you wouldn't really be a fan of that. I don't, you know, Counter-Strike, it makes sense. I mean, we just did Half-Life in 98, so I wonder if that's redundant.
Well, Half-Life was like single-player FPS, and this will be multiplayer FPS.
Yeah, it's a birth of a specific type of genre, but yeah. EverQuest would also be. Yeah.
I'm not really a huge fan of getting into EverQuest personally.
I mean, it was just kind of 3D Ultima.
Yeah, I mean, it was important. It was very important, but ultimately, I don't like it.
I don't know. Is it our favorites, or is it most influential in the world of gaming now? Because WoW is a direct descendant of EverQuest. So,
honestly, I wish that I played Planescape Torment so I could agree with you. Because I feel like I would. That's how I
think
I feel.
That if the Squadron was giving out the award, it would go to Planescape Torment.
Right.
But
us two unintellectual
Neanderthals.
Yeah, because of us, we can't give it to it.
Well, it's not important on the world at large, on the very hardcore true believers.
I mean, I'm still leaning towards Counter-Strike.
I guess unless you guys want to persuade me to anything else, I guess Counter-Strike works for me.
I think Half-Life single player, because you've got the genesis of it last year, and then what it became,
right,
in 99. I think that's significant.
Real quick, why Counter-Strike and not Team Fortress Classic though? Just
it was
from
bigger.
An academic standpoint.
It really was bigger. Plus, Team Fortress Classic, it was really just a high res version of the old Team Fortress.
It was actually just supposed to be kind of like a here, play this while we make Team Fortress 2.
Yeah,
back then.
People are still winning money in tournaments nowadays playing Counter-Strike.
Right,
so it's still significant.
Okay.
What year? I was thinking, because that reminds me of StarCraft. When? What year did StarCraft come out? Oh, it was 98, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was last year. That's why we didn't give it to StarCraft.
All right, because I read faster than you now, I'm going to go over the list of all years. 86 was Zelda, 87 Metal Gear, 88 Mega Man 2, 89 SimCity, 90 Super Mario World, 91 Street Fighter 2, 92 Star Control 2, 93 Myst, 94 Final Fantasy 6, 95 Warcraft 2, 96 Mario 64, 97 Curse Monkey Island, 98 Half-Life, 1999 is Counter-Strike.
Cool. Isn't this fun how this is all coming together?
We're very well-rounded.
Yes, that's why I like this list.
As genres, Half-Life and Counter-Strike are completely separate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true.
As engines, they are the same, but as genres, they are different.
I'm excited to see what you guys come up with for next week.
Oh yeah, that's right. I hope there's nothing like huge. I'm gonna look at the list and send you something.
We can still Twitter.
Well, I'm gonna send him an email like sword guy style, probably, if there's anything specific I like.
I have an idea of what came out in 2000. I think I already know what my vote's gonna be.
Final Fantasy IX.
No.
Dang it. All right, let's not jump ahead though. So let's get to the quiz.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Inspired by the games of 1999. All right, Great American Edge Guy Gaming Quiz. Let's go. Question number one. How many expansions have there been for EverQuest?
Oh, good lord.
Looking for a number.
Don't ask me.
I'm going to say something to the order of like, well, let's think. Nine. It's a 10-year-old game. They haven't been quite yearly. I'm going to go with 8.
15.
What?
Yes, sir.
What?
Yes.
I mean, I was even thinking 12 would be the absolute maximum.
No.
Holy shit.
You underestimate the power of the Sony content creation empire.
Yes. Good lord. Okay. Well, write that one off.
All right. Number two. Mm-hmm. That was a question like, he's not going to get it, but it'll be fun. Number two. Name the 4 unlockable characters in Super Smash Bros.
Okay. Jigglypuff.
Okay.
Captain Falcon?
Yes. Come on, Edge Guy.
Hang on.
Wasn't Ganondorf? Did you start with that?
No. He wasn't in the original, was he? I don't think he came till Melee.
All right. I'm not up on my Smash Brothers.
It's just I'm trying to separate the two, you know? Luigi?
Uh-huh. One more.
Oh, my God. I'm so close. Oh, God. Let me think for a second. Who the hell else was in that game?
From an RPG?
Yeah. Now which one is it? Marth? Roy.
Okay, now you lose. Ness.
Oh, he was a secret?
Yeah.
I thought he was a base. I thought about him.
No.
Damn it.
Dang it. I tried to help you there.
Oh, shit.
Didn't give you the clue. Aye. All right. Question number 3. In Final Fantasy VIII, mercenary students are trained in facilities called what?
Do you know?
Yes, gardens. Go ahead.
Gardens, very
there was
good.
There was Balam Garden, and there was, shit, what's the one that you started out in?
I just want to give Beige a big high five for loving Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh, yeah, it's like I said, it's my second favorite after 10.
Don't you love, my favorite part was when I realized the game was getting really good was the end of Disc 1 with that whole assassination attempt, you know what I'm talking about? That whole kind of sequence there. That was just fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah, it's, I don't want, no, let's not degenerate into Final Fantasy.
Yeah, let's not. I just want to bring that up real quick. All right, question number 4. So far, you're 0, Edge Guys. This is fun.
I got 1 in the garden. That counts.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Number 4. Pokemon Red and Blue took place in the Kanto region. Now, what region does Pokemon Gold and
you're
Silver
such
take place?
A bastard. Okay, wait. It starts with a J.
Ooh.
What? Do you know, Beige?
I've never played a Pokemon
game. Oh, that's right. You're that guy.
I'm that guy.
Oh, my God. It is a J. Am I correct on the J?
It's a J. It's a J.
Was it like... Janto is too obvious. Was it like... Jetta or something? I don't know.
Johto.
Jeez. No. Oh, well.
Number 5. Name at least 6 platforms in which Rayman 2 was released on. There were 7.
6. Okay. Well, we got Dreamcast. We got PlayStation 2. We got PlayStation 1. We have PC. We've got Nintendo 64, and...
Is there a portable release?
I don't know. Wait, it came on the DS.
Yep, and the DS. And also there was a Game Boy Color version.
Okay.
All right, there you go.
Sweet.
Very nice. All right, here's the bonus question. Name a character from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater who isn't Tony Hawk.
Wasn't that Hand thing from Speed Freaks in there as an unlockable character? Like some sort of giant hand with veins coming out of it?
Yeah, there was that.
I'll tell you what, you name someone who's actually a skater, I'll give you 2 points.
Yeah, no, I, oh, shoot, what's the one, the other guy's name who I always remembered, except for right now? Oh, I used to know these people.
Do you not know?
No. Doesn't matter anyway.
You could put it the text in black if you want to read all the skaters' names if you want.
Oh, that's quite the list.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was a fun question.
Bob Burnquist. Yeah, that was what I was trying to think of. Yeah Jeff Rowley, Bucky Lasik, Chad Muska, Kareem Campbell, Andrew Reynolds, Rune Gilford, Jamie Thomas, Alyssa Steamer. Who's that? Officer Dick and Private Career.
All right. Well, that was a pretty big failure on your part.
Yep.
Good thing Beige was here so that you have 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was fun, huh?
Yeah, let's talk about some games.
All right, yeah.
This would be where I tell you about Fable 2, Look at the Future or whatever the fuck, but I lost my goddamn memory card with my Fable 2 save files on it, and I can't play it till I find it.
Yes, this has been amusing.
No, but the thing is...
You're playing Fable 2 from a memory card?
Well, because at the time, I was transient back and forth between Ohio and Pittsburgh when I was playing it, so I just kept my save file on my memory card, so wherever I was, I could play it. And I never put it on my hard drive, and then I bought the DLC before I realized the memory card was missing. And so now I pay the $7 or whatever, and I can't play it because I don't have a save file.
That noise is bump, 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 bump.
Yeah, I'm amused infinitely by AJ's misery.
You're a jackass.
Yeah, I know.
But we did play the trial of Star Trek DAC, which Chris apparently just bought and put on my Xbox. So
that's cool. I'll play it.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I mean, it's very simple, and it could have been anything. Like, yeah. It doesn't need to be a Star Trek game, but it has the soundtrack from the movie, which is cool.
That's
nice. It's come kind of neat things. I mean, it's very simple, but, I mean, you know, Capture the Flag, Team Deathmatch, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
They have, Deathmatch in Star Trek land?
That's like I said, it doesn't really fit Star
Trek. Are there Batlatches? I mean,
it's all ship stuff, and it's all top down. It's like if you kind of took Geometry Wars and turned it into something that could support, like, Capture the Flag.
Yeah. It's weird.
With, like, classes and stuff. It's interesting enough. Yeah. Plus, there's a neat mechanic where when you get killed, you actually go into an escape pod, and if you avoid enemy fire for, like, 5 seconds, you warp out.
So you respawn more quickly.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of neat.
Let's see. I got some iPhone games. Brace yourself.
Why don't we – can't you do your real games first? You got Patapon, too.
I've talked about that already.
No, you didn't, because I didn't talk about it.
Because you didn't play it yet.
No. Well, I guess I'll wait till you're done, then I'll talk about that.
Okay, so the first one, this is a real game. It's Peggle on the iPhone. And I was discussing this with you earlier today. Phenomenal game, and it's a really, really good version. They handle fine-tuning controls in two ways. You can either use this kind of touch-sensitive wheel on the side, or you can zoom in, and it really makes the movements very sensitive. Here's what's weird. They tout as a feature that you can bring in your own music to the game. And that's actually going to be a part of the iPhone 3.0 software where, like, software can directly access your music database. All this is you fire up your music, then launch the game, and it just plays. But the sound effects are still going. The problem is, if you're doing that, it does not play Ode to Joy when you hit the last peg, which is arguably the best part of the game.
Fail. No, I'm done. Now, it doesn't do that.
But the thing is, like, if you don't play your own music, they didn't include any music. It doesn't even have, like, that standard Peggle song that's playing, but it will play Ode to Joy. So if you want Ode to Joy, you have to play the rest of the game without music. I don't know why they did that. Like, how do they not expect people to complain? And that's, like, if you read the reviews in the iTunes store, it's, like, 5-star reviews, but then every text is, like, could you please fix this, please? I'm hoping that when the iPhone 3.0 software comes out and it's able to better talk to the music library, it will work with everything. We'll see. I don't know why they just throw the music in there. It couldn't have been more than a couple megabytes.
Mm.
Then I got Top Gun, which you would think would be the worst thing ever. It's awesome.
There's Easter eggs in it. I know that much.
You boot it up. You got the Top Gun theme playing. You start a mission. A very cheesy cover of Highway to the Danger Zone starts playing. And it actually plays really well. They do, like, all kinds of neat tricks. To make your plane look like it's doing more than you're actually doing, like with barrel rolls and stuff. It's fun.
Hmm.
The last one, it's Crystal Defenders Vanguard. Shit.
The new one. Yeah. Which, better than the old one?
It's completely different. It's not a tower defense game. Almost imagine, like, Mega Man Battle Network where you have that kind of grid. And it's like the fighter will attack, like, the three panels in front of him and up left and down left. And then the mage will just shoot four in front of him. The archer will shoot in both diagonals. And every time you push the skip button or the timer runs out, the enemies advance forward, your guys do their attack, and if something's in their range, they hit it. And you're just trying to stop everyone from getting to the far right. It's really neat. Like,
sounds completely different. Sounds a little like R-Type Command, which I'm also a big fan of. So.
Okay, well there you go.
Is that the one where you named all the ships after squad members?
Yeah, I do that at any time that I have a huge roster of guys and I can give them names.
Nice.
I also finally got around to playing the demo for the Wheelman, which was far better than I thought it would have been. It's basically Burnout if you can melee attack with your car.
Oh, interesting.
Like you just hit the right stick in either direction, and you just kind of sideswipe. And it's got some cool mechanics.
How do you sideswipe behind you?
Well, then it's got this mechanic where you can either push up or down on the D-pad, and it'll go into like a slow-mo bullet time thing where you can aim your gun from inside your car. And if you hit behind you, he like throws the car into a 180 and kicks it in reverse so it keeps going. And then you shoot these guys, and then when you come out of it, he spins it back around.
Really?
That's really neat.
That part's cool and all, but if they can do that, they could do Twisted Metal, where giant rocket launchers are coming out of the car and wings and afterburners and over-the-top shit.
Right. Someday.
I'd much rather play Interstate 76 than Jason Stratham, British type.
Jason Statham's awesome, first off.
He is, but he doesn't hold a candle to Taurus and the guys from Interstate 76.
And then this would be also where I talk about the infamous demo that I got with my Best Buy pre-order, but it's took 3 hours to download. It just finished right before we started recording. So later.
Should be fun. I'm looking forward to that. Can I go?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm playing your Patapon too, and I never actually played a Patapon before, so this is my
first.
You
say that like it's a huge fan. There's only one other one.
You know, everyone talked about playing Patapon, though. I mean,
it was great.
Yeah, it's good.
And
I have a chip on my shoulder about Patapon too, because I went to play it last night. I finished Hatsworth, and I went to download it. And the process of me buying and putting Patapon on my PSP was like over an hour. I had to update my PS3. Then I had to update my PSP. Then I had
Did you have to charge your PSP?
Sign into my account. No, I had enough foresight to plug it in earlier in the evening.
Oh, that's good.
But I hadn't charged it in months before that point in time. And then I had to dig up my like email address to log into the stuff. And then I had to find a cable to connect everything. It turned into a farce. But I did eventually get the Patapons on my PC or on my PSP. So what do you think of it?
I love the game. I mean, I don't know why I didn't play this earlier. I just have so much fun with, and it's, you know, I just love the idea of a rhythm based like tactical game.
Yep. It has so much personality too. Right. So I never get tired of the little call outs from the Patapons.
Right.
The like just really
it's got a good humor to it.
Yeah.
But it's not just like a humor for like humor's sake. I mean, it's still
genuine.
Fits. Right. And I love the whole kind of loot drop aspect, the whole upgrading aspect. I'm just at a point where I finally got the Dawn drum. So I have all the drums now. So I do that even one thing where you go into like the juju thing. Although I will say there was a part of the game where it was like, you can't progress until you get the rain juju and the swamp. I'm like, okay, what's a rain juju? And I went through that level like 10 times. Like, I don't understand. And finally I had to go to some fact find out there's some totem pole I had to play around with. But, you know, I mean, I feel like most people know what Patapon is all about, and it's great.
They better not. There's only one thing that pissed me off about Patapon, the original, and that's that, you know, it's very much about collecting stuff and then upgrading your guys over time. And right at the very end of Patapon, the original, is when they give you the last unit type. And they just don't give you enough time to play around with it. They don't. By that point in time, you've got a giant army already outfitted with hats and spears and stuff. And, you know, they give you this other Patapon. And they're like, hey, it's the ultimate kind. Knock yourself out. And you have one level to go before the final confrontation.
Right.
Don't do that. If you're going to give your players toys, give them enough time to play with those toys.
I don't think that's the case, just from what I'm seeing. But
Like this game has fixed a lot of complaints like that people had about the first
Patapon one. Patapon 1 didn't have the hero unit thing, did it?
No. No. That's new.
That's cool. That's a cool thing to add. Now, Beige, I'm kind of interested now. You said you beat Henry Hatsworth. What did you think?
Great. It's a great game, but you are on crack for saying that it's not difficult.
I'm not saying it's not difficult. I'm just saying it's not as difficult as people make it out to be.
Okay, here is my assessment of Henry Hatsworth. The last few levels, especially the last, you know, sequence of levels, I finished them without too much difficulty. I finished them And I did not have to continue very many times, but I can really easily see how a person who is less patient or just was, you know, not as familiar with platforming for 20 years the way that I've been playing it would have a lot of trouble.
Well, yeah, I can see how someone who's
hard. And the final boss fight was satisfying and good in a really, like, I'm a hardcore gamer, and this was a hardcore fight, and it was way... It was like a Dr. Wily fight.
Right.
It was like straight out of the 8-bit era.
I missed
era.
That. That's why it was so sweet, because I felt accomplished after I beat the game.
Yep, but make no mistake, it is challenging.
You know,
and
maybe to someone who... Maybe to all these people who are still buying new Super Mario Brothers, but... Man up, everyone. You know?
No, yeah, it's
shut
not
up
for
and
babies.
Jam.
It is not for babies, I'll tell you that.
No.
But I
wasn't saying it's not hard, but I'm not saying it's... I mean, there are other games that are hard and are celebrated for its for being hard. And I feel like just because people weren't expecting it, this game gets criticized for it, and it bothers me.
You know what frustrated me about Hatsworth is that I got all the way to the end of the game. I was literally on the last level of the game before the final boss, before I realized that if you want the other half of the suit pieces, you have to go ramming around in secret areas.
Yeah, no, I never even
and they
went
never
back and
explain
got,
it.
Right, yeah, they don't even give you clues.
I had half
of
the damn suit at the end of the game, and I felt ripped off about that. Even if they had done the thing with that Mario World did, where they put a red dot or something on levels
yeah.
that had a secret exit from it, that would have been.
Well, yeah, that would be a good idea.
I know what you mean. Yeah, like I didn't know about that. I only knew about it because I read Game Facts.
And I wanted the gentleman's bow tie. I wanted the gentleman's wallet, but I didn't know it existed. I just assumed they would be giving it to me.
Is there something cool you get for getting all that stuff?
Well, they each have different perks. Gentleman's wallet, you get more money per. Like everything
yeah,
you get.
They do things that would be really useful to you at the end of the game, like your special abilities use half as much special power.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, that would have been helpful.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Bad design choice in an otherwise amazingly designed game.
Those boss fights were fantastic. How about that one where you fought that old guy with the nurse?
The nurse? Oh, yeah.
Man, that was one of the most imaginative boss fights I've seen in so long.
Do you know that this whole game came out of some kind of experimental design group?
Yeah, it was like a guy at EA who like prototyped it in Flash.
He just left EA to become independent.
Yeah.
Well, if he keeps making stuff like this, I'll keep buying it. So
right.
Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it.
You done, Mike?
I'm trying to. I feel like I should have played something else. I mean, MLB. I got set back down to the minors and MLB 09 to show.
Oh, you were pissed.
Well, my numbers are fantastic.
Yeah, but then you went to the minors and you kept losing.
Because my guy's rattled. I mean, what the hell? Fucking Carmona comes back from injury or whatever. He's off the DL list and like, oh,
hey,
he has to take your spot.
Hey, shut up and pitch. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Beige, there are two types of people in this world, Beige. Okay, there are those that jam with the best and those that slam with the rest.
In case you haven't noticed, everybody, Michael has become entranced with the game Barkley Shut Up and Jam Guide.
This has actually been a big thing with me this week.
I've known about for 6 months, and I believe I told you about back then. It's another one of those things you couldn't be bothered with it when
thing.
I told you about
here's
it.
Here's the thing. I literally got into basketball about 2 months ago. Like, I got caught up with it because the Cavs are good, and we might win a championship, which will be the first time for Cleveland since, like, the 60s. So I've gotten to basketball, and I've been introduced to Charles Barkley now, and I know about this man.
So for people who don't know about this game, it's, like, it's a fan-made, completely original, 16-bit-style JRPG that stars Charles Barkley.
Okay, here's...
Wait. What?
Okay.
Wait.
You have my attention.
Wait, I gotta explain this to Big. Yeah. These fans, these independent gamers called Tales of Games made this game, and it looks like a 16-bit RPG. It takes place in the future. It's post-apocalyptic. The main character is Charles Barkley, and he lives in a world where basketball has been banned, most specifically the Chaos Dunk. And Michael Jordan is in charge of the world, and
Michael Jordan's part of like the Gestapo that like, you know, it's like if they hear a basketball bouncing, they like come crashing through the windows on you and stuff.
Yeah, Paige, I'm not even kidding. You have to watch the
squad.
This
squad mission.
That's what I said.
No,
that's what I said.
No
this is
contest.
Squad mission.
No contest.
It's free. It's independent. It's awesome. Listen, here's how awesome this game is. Okay, listen to this. Are you ready? Space Jam. The events of Space Jam are canon.
Okay, sold. Sold. Put that on the friggin' vote list. I guess that's my job. I can do that.
I literally watched Space Jam last night because I'm so excited to play this game.
Which
now
still surprisingly holds up.
But. Yes, but oh. I'm just like, the trailer's hilarious because like the one part I've been quoting is like this one part, you go up to the kid and he's like, sir, can you spare any Neo bucks or something like that? Everything's Neo this because, you know, it's on Neo Earth now because it's the future and it's dystopia.
Well, the apocalypse was caused by basketball.
No, and you know what the best part is? They never say basketball. It's always b-ball. But, and, like, the kid's like, can you spare some Neo bucks? And you can, you know, you have, like, the generic options and the one is no. It's like, sorry, son, it's survival of the fittest out here. You either slam with the best or you jam with the rest. And it's just all the, and there's even like quick time events. And like the RPG system looks it's old school, but it looks like well put together. It doesn't look like, you know, a half assed production at all. It's like someone
Dude,
made a 16-
it's like if Square Enix was gonna make a JRPG about basketball and post apocalyptic Neo Earth, this
okay,
is what they would have made in 1996.
Listen, shut up. I'm voting for it.
Shut up and jam.
Shut up and jam.
The full name is actually Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Gaiden, Tales of the Barkley Hoops Saga, episode 1.
This is the unofficial sequel to Barkley, Shut Up and
Jam.
Yeah,
I didn't even realize there was a game for the Genesis called Barkley, Shut Up and Jam that was like an NBA Jam ripoff. And this is the, quote, official sequel.
All right. I thought Shaq Fu was breaking new ground, but
no.
Right,
I'm going to post on the suggestion thing, and I'm going to send you the trailer after this, Beige, so you can watch it.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
It's just
so
amazing.
Do you have anything else you played, Beige?
Oh yeah, actually, I've been playing all sorts of stuff this week. Right. Most of it we've already talked about. Finished Hatsworth, finished Mad World, ultimately.
Oh, cool.
What else did I finish? Something else significant that we were playing through. Prince of Persia.
Did you finish Last Remnant yet? Is that
no,
what you were
still,
playing?
Still going.
How was Prince
still
of Persia? Is the end of the game something I need to see? Because I played most of it, and I kind of got tired of it.
The end redeems the boredom.
Really?
Of playing the game.
Hmm.
Did you play the DLC?
Not yet.
You going to?
Maybe. But I'm very happy with how it ended, and I don't want to. I kind of want to take a little bit of a breather from it to not spoil that experience.
Right. My understanding is that, like, the DLC, it's kind of almost like that Ratchet and Clank kind of mini game they did where stuff happens, but then by the end you're in the exact same position you were at the end anyway.
Yeah. See, I'm really I thought they did a really neat thing with the ending, and the final confrontation that you have with Ahriman is the best realization of a dark god in a video game that I've ever seen.
Dude, that's saying a lot, because there's a shitload of those.
Yep. I've played, I don't know how many dark gods I've fought, but Ahriman is the best.
There's that spreatsheet again.
Yeah, I like, seriously, I go down the fucking list from Zoramus down to X-Death, you name it. I've probably killed them while they were trying to destroy the world. Ahriman's great. The way that somebody watched a lot of horror movies and took the right lessons from it.
That's
when
good.
They were designing that game. Cool. So I don't want to spoil it. Just say that, but the gameplay part, really disappointed in it. I think Ubisoft has some sort of hard-on right now for making games that are beautiful games with amazingly designed worlds and, you know, obviously artistic guys on the team, and then they just waste time by throwing you into a world and just letting you run around pointlessly. You know, Far Cry, I just finished, Assassin's Creed, Prince of Persia. You know, don't make an open-ended world if the only thing you can do in this open-ended world is go to one of 16 identical things and, you know, make choices that ultimately have no meaning at all on the game. Like, it's not like Metroid Prime where the little different globes that you get drastically change how the game plays. They don't change how it plays at all. And, you know, when you write the story so that it has to be applicable for no matter how people progress through the path, you're going to end up with something that's watered down.
Right.
Again, see my Planescape greater than Baldur's Gate argument, where when you have to design for every character, you end up designing a very bland story.
Right. Like, what exactly does Prince of Persia gain from not being linear?
Nothing. And it loses everything.
Right.
Because Sands of Time and the last one.
Two Thrones.
I didn't like the Warrior Within as much, but
for
Two
obvious
Thrones,
reasons.
Those are both great, and they were great because they were directed along a timeline, and with a sense of artistic progression, especially in the Two Thrones, where you were doing chariot races and boss fights, and you were moving around through different interesting environments.
Sometimes we kind of, you know, make fun of these things where it's like, oh, now all of a sudden the game's like an on-rail shooter, and oh, look at this. But, you know, it's nice to kind of break things up with those every once in a while.
Yeah, and I have absolutely no problem with direction. I one of the reasons that I love Final Fantasy X so much is that they walk you along a path that starts at the beginning of the adventure and ends at the end of the adventure, and they say right at the very beginning of the game, it's going to be a road movie, mm-hmm. and you're going to go from point A, and you're going to end at point Z, and the game is about the journey that happens in between.
Right, and it works
fair
beautifully.
Enough. Yeah, Prince of Persia, within the first 10 minutes, you've seen every trick they're going to show you. If you've run on a wall once, you've run on it 100 times. Every environment is designed in the same way, so they look a little different, but you're not doing anything different. And same with the fights. I mean, when I heard originally that there were going to be Metal Gear style bosses, I got all excited. But the thing that you realize right away is you can't have a quote unquote Metal Gear boss when the mechanics are the same every time. You know, mm-hmm. fighting Vulcan Raven, not the same as fighting Sniper Wolf.
That's kind of the cool thing about an
inventory, and you have to know how to use your inventory, and the environment makes a big difference. Every fight in Prince of Persia is like playing Soul Calibur. They put two people in a ring, you ring out somebody, end of story. Not like Metal Gear.
Yeah, completely agree with you.
Anyway, so too much about Prince of Persia. What I really wanted to say was we've been playing... This is a game that I really want to recommend. Nobody's playing it, and everybody who has a PlayStation 3 should. It's called Comet Crash, and it's a downloadable game on PSN. It's $9.99, so it won't set you back anything. And it is a really, really interesting hybrid of tower defense and real-time strategy.
Never heard of it.
Yep, nobody has. But when I started, you know, whenever the doldrums come in, I go on to ranking and critic sites and start looking up games that I haven't heard of that have got high scores. And this one has been getting like 9s and 8s across the board. It's a little independently produced game. I don't know how to describe it exactly. It's a bit like Pixel Junk Monsters in that it is a tower defense game in which you control an agent, in this case a spaceship, that flies around the screen. So you do your tower defense building by flying a little ship around. But instead of towers, you also build, I guess I'll just call them like creep colonies. They're structures that produce units as well. And both sides are evenly balanced in that they're both producing, you build structures that do defense, and you build structures that produce units. And then on the right thumbstick, you can choose to release your units. You build different types of them, and you release them in different waves. So it's kind of about, if you liked the Zerg rushing, it's what StarCraft would be if you never directly controlled your units yourself. Hmm. When you release them, so let's say by the later levels, you're building structures that produce things like scouts and tanks and these weird things called hammers that flop around the board. When you release them, your units will take the quickest path to the enemy base that they can. But that there's all sorts of weird jiggery-pokery you could do by building shortcuts that your guys can go through and the enemy guys can't go through. But they are building units as well. So unlike other tower defense games where enemies will come in waves, you get to see the enemy's base building up, and you see what, you know, StarCraft style, okay, they're producing tanks now, shit, there's going to be a tank rush in like 5 minutes, I have to prepare for that, so you're building your towers and stuff, but at the same time, you're building your own tanks or your own scouts, and there's a lot of interesting rock, paper, scissors stuff going on where scouts are really weak, but they don't get it hurt, because they levitate, and they don't get hurt by things that hit the ground, that cause earthquakes, and, you know, there's all... It's hard to describe, but like it's basically, and it's cooperative. People can play two people at the same time versus the computer, or you can play head to head. Up to four people can have their own bases and build and fight each other. It's really interesting, and like I said, it's really cheap. The only complaint I have about it is that the structures are a little generic looking, so it's kind of hard to tell the difference between a cannon that's level 1 and level 4 is not immediately apparent. Mm. And when in Pixel Junk Monsters, they just hung a flag up that changed from like green to yellow to red. It was very obvious. But this one, you fly around and you just end up hitting the circle button a lot to upgrade stuff. But it's a really neat, I would say, 50-50 hybrid between RTS and tower defense. Mm. And it's a genre that people need to take it and run with it. So it's called Comet Crash, and it's on PSN.
Cool.
So there's that, and then the other thing I wanted to plug is Fear 2. We started playing
A
couple of days ago.
I like the demo.
My wife is a big Fear fan, and she bugged me until I bought it. We were, you know, kind of sitting. We were done with our current stable, and we're like, what are we going to play? We both really enjoyed Fear on the PC when we played it. I'll say that on the Xbox 360, which is where I'm playing Fear 2, it's not superior to PC. The fine control, the one thing that was really good about Fear is that how tough the enemies were, and that they would jump out at you and act really, really smart. And they'd flank you and dive for cover. You know, the quality of the AI was really the thing that sold Fear to a lot of people. And on the 360, they've kind of, it seems to me that they've had to dumb it down a bit because you just can't react as fast. You can't react PC shooter style on a console platform. You know, you either design a shooter for a console or a PC, and they don't usually cross. But I am really enjoying it because it's really well directed. So, you know, your squad, if you're hoping that it's something other than Fear, you're going to be disappointed. Because as far as I can tell, the plot is exactly the same as the plot from Fear. You control a different set of Marines that are Special Forces guys that go in. It happens concurrently with the plot of Fear. So, while Fear 1 is happening, Fear 2 is also happening.
Wait, really?
At the same
time. I didn't
know that. Yeah.
Why is that little girl older then?
Well, I haven't got to that part yet, but there is a really significant event at the end of Fear, where they drop a nuke on the city.
And you kind of see it in the...
Yeah, and that happens in Fear 2.
Cool.
As an in-game event.
Did you play the demo?
Not yet.
Maybe, because the demo started there, so maybe that wasn't the beginning of the game.
Nope, the beginning of the game in this case is you and your squad are... You know, you go into this corporate office building and your guys are bantering back and forth and it's got lots of, you know, sort of talk. And, you know, it's kind of generic and it's this, you know, a squatty game. But at the same time, it has a lot of personality. I'm enjoying the radio chatter. I'm enjoying this weird guy called Snake Fist who keeps coming on the intercom and talking like he's all Chuck Norris on my ass. Alma, you know, it's that part of the scary part. It's not scary. At least I don't think so. But it is really enjoyable. And so far, so good. I'm going to, you know, reserve total judgment until I'm finished it. But, you know, all signs point to a pretty good direction from Monolith. They really seem, especially with sound, they really seem to have their shit together in that department. And they're really good at making the musical effects and environmental audio and stuff that really works. So... I mean, it's not like game of the year, but it's definitely, if you see it used or you're interested in it at all, it's worth your time.
Cool.
For sure.
I also bought Shirin the Wanderer today. Found it for $15.
Played it yet, though,
yeah,
right?
I know. That's what I'm going to be doing at Disney. Hopefully it doesn't kick my ass too much. I feel like I'm going
to
get
frustrated. To be clear, he's going to play it when we're waiting in line. He's not going to, like, not go to Disney World so he can play a DS game.
Well, yeah. I wanted a DS game because there's a lot of downtime, you know. Okay.
So, all right. Oh, my God. This is like the longest podcast ever.
It's sweet.
You guys should know better than to put me on because it always turns into a
freaking
fest.
Well,
so we'll be doing it next week, I guess.
Yeah. We'll talk about that more at the end. But so let me hit the download games. Here we go. On the WiiWare, Family Pirate Party next.
Pirates don't have families.
I know, right? On the Virtual Console, Galaxy Force 2 next. On DSiWare, Real Soccer 2009.
Man.
Next.
Man, those are boring.
Yeah.
Christ.
Xbox Live Arcade, saw the aforementioned Star Trek DAC, and something called Texas Cheat'em.
That also came out on PS3.
Yes, it did. PS3 also got Zen Pinball. And worth noting, this week only, Ragdoll Kung Fu in the PS3 is free, thanks to a sponsorship from Sprint.
Thanks.
Really? I'm going to go download that right now.
Yeah, I did that earlier. On the PSP, we have Pursuit Force Extreme Justice.
Oh, man, Extreme Justice.
Yes, and two PS1 games came out for download, The King of Fighters and Spyro Year of the Dragon. On Good Old Games, we have Obscure, which is an obscure 2004 survival horror game, and Heroes of Might and Magic, the original.
All right, then. So, retail games. We got Battle Station Specific come out for PC, 360, I don't know. Did it come out for the PS3? I'd be surprised if it didn't. But
It doesn't look like it did.
All right, then. Never mind. Sacred 2, Fallen Angel for 360 and PS3.
I really need to find out what this game is. I really don't know.
But it's getting decent reviews, so I don't know. Killing Floor for the PC.
It sounds like a Left 4 Dead ripoff.
Yeah,
it's a co-op survival horror shooter. Yeah. Available for download through Steam.
Interesting. Hinterland, Orc Lords for the PC. Okay. Shin Megami Tensei, Devil Summoner 2, Reduo Kuzanahu versus King Abaddon.
You ever want to get some weird looks in Toronto, just go around to different game stores asking for Shin Megami Tensei, Reduo Kuzanahu versus King Abaddon. I got the stink eye from like 5 different people. Even the people down at my local game store love me. They were just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I think you didn't find it then.
No, I didn't. But it doesn't come out until the 19th here. I eventually figured a reason for that.
Oh, okay.
But if you say Devil Summoner 2, they know what you're talking about.
That's another thing I got to do this summer is beat Persona 4. Yep. Oh, God. I remember last year I made all these goals for the summer that I never did. I was like, I'm going to finally beat Metroid Prime. Nope. Although there'll be a
you
new play
beat Metroid Prime?
I know. That's I always...
What's wrong with you?
I know. That's what I said.
No. Wait a second. I played it. I always... 3 times now I played up to that part where you get... You know, it's like now you have to go find those 12 orbs. I love the hell out of Metroid Prime. For whatever reason, I haven't beaten it yet, though.
Go to GameFAQs. That part takes you half an hour.
I know.
Final fight with Metroid Prime. Amazing boss fight.
I know.
One of the best shooter bosses.
Ever.
Bosses
My plan is to... You know,
get the new play control.
But make no mistake, even without beating it, Metroid Prime is like one of my favorite games. I don't know why. It's just a stupid thing of me. I'll fix it soon enough. Anyways, moving on. Hope Wanted, 50 Wacky Jobs for the Wii.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, okay. Magician's Quest, Mysterious Times for the DS.
Also sounds amazing. Wait, hang on. Go to magic school and learn spells. Harry Potter much?
Yeah, honestly. Sid Meier's Civilization 4, the complete edition for the PC. Thank God they finally
also
completed
it. Also on Steam, too. Well, no, it just includes all the expansion.
I'm being facetious, okay. Desktop Tower Defense for the DS.
There it is, the original.
History Great Empires Rome DS. There's got to be a colon in there somewhere, but there isn't. Okay. Pirates vs. Ninjas Dodgeball for Wii. Zen Pinball for PC. That was a download we were talking about. Guilty Gear XX Accent Core Plus for the Wii. You know, I'm thinking about pre-ordering that BlazBlue for the 360 on GameStop so I can get that art book and, you know, it'll come with, like, the soundtrack and everything. $60 for all that cool stuff. I feel like that would be a fun game.
Hmm. Well, Guilty Gear, if it has anything to do with Guilty Gear XX, it's one of my favorite fighting games of all time.
It's basically Guilty Gear but hotter and sexier. So
okay.
You can't go wrong with that, I feel like.
Well, you know it's already one of the hottest video game babes, so...
Right. And I don't know. I liked Guilty Gear X. The first time it came out when I played it was fun. All right, that finally kind of brings us
breathe.
To the end here, doesn't it?
Yeah. So as we kind of mentioned a few times,
we're so close to 2 hours though.
I got some stuff to say. Oh. So yeah, next week Mike and I will be in Florida. Beige and Fiend and Scribble's
out.
It depends when you guys record. I mean, and Rock have all graciously agreed to take over the show for us for a week. Fiend said he's going to edit it and everything, and I'll let you guys figure out who's going to be the host, if it must be, you know, designated and all that. But, you know, in advance, a huge thanks to all you guys, because, you know, we appreciate that.
Right. I can't wait to listen to that podcast.
Yeah, you thank us now.
Yeah.
I can't
don't
wait.
Don't fuck it up.
You guys get to
this is our baby.
You guys get to do Game of the Year 2000? Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be weird to listen to this podcast we've been doing now for almost 2 years and not be in it.
Yeah, honestly.
It's kind of weird.
That'll be number 85.
Wow.
Wow. Jeez. But like I said, I can't wait to hear it. Gotta do the quiz still. I don't know.
We're gonna do it. We're gonna keep the format totally the same.
Awesome. I'll be sending you guys an email with all your instructions later tonight.
Yeah, I look forward to that so much. Almost as much as I look forward to making everyone play Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden.
Making. I'm there.
I know you're there, but
it's these other nincompoops that need convincing.
If you float that past the squad, people are going to go for it.
AJ.
It's like
I'm just pissed because I told you about this game 6 months ago.
I don't know.
And you're like, whatever.
I thought it was kind of funny. But for some reason, I saw the trailer and I think it was specifically the line, if you don't slam with the best, you jam with the rest. I don't know. All of a sudden, I was just, I was just gung-ho, like, the Squadron of Shame is playing this game,
and no one will stop me.
God. He's like sitting there watching trailers. I'm like, you know, you could download this for free and play it right now. He's like, no, not until the squad plays it with me. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
You can attest that. I was literally sitting there just laughing my ass off.
That time is coming.
Oh my God. This is going to be great. Plus, maybe we can even, I've sent out a friendly email to the guys who made this. Maybe we can get something from them. You know, it'd be cool.
Yeah, they'll come on the show.
Oh man, it'd be fun. Their trailer says that the music is done by Nobuo Uematsu, which I think is just an outright lie.
No, no, he's a big basketball fan, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, Charles Barkley, man. They go way back.
Oh, God. Let's finish this up so I can show you that trailer. Then it's going to be so much fun.
Lord.
You realize the name of this episode is either going to be Shut Up and Jam or Jam with the Best.
Okay, I'll pick one.
All right. No, you can do Jam with the Best, because then later we can name episode Slam with the Rest.
Okay.
Maybe that's next week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, see, it's funny.
Okay, I like High that. Five. High five on that. This week will be Slam with the Rest, and you guys have to name
this one. This one's Jam with the Best.
No, Slam with the Best or Jam with the Rest.
I forget which one's which.
Well, that's how you always say it. I don't know.
We'll watch the trailer soon, Jim.
Yeah, research it for me.
All right.
Good Lord. We are the Exploding Barrel Podcast, and I apologize for everything you just heard.
I do this part, sir.
Oh, before you didn't want to be the host.
I am the host.
2 hours ago.
This is my show. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everyone. You can find us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at the Squadron of Shame website at squadronofshame.com. Why am I not?
Did you have your mic turned off?
No,
I heard it.
Okay, good.
It's on, right?
Yeah, you just got louder all of a sudden.
Yeah, I just didn't pick it up.
Close to your mouth. Anyway.
I wonder if I'm low this entire podcast. Anyways, hello. Thanks for listening. SquadronShame.com is our website. You can follow me at twitter.com/...
Tolkoto.
Yeah, but that's not what we do. Follow Exploding Barrel at twitter.com/ExplodingBarrel. You can contact me at tolkoto@SquadronShame.com.
Ajga@SquadronShame.com.
And Dej@SquadronShame.com.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening, and until next time, live long and slam hard.
Wait, they're not gonna. Yeah, but like, we'll see you in 2 weeks. So yeah, wave goodbye to the people, man.
You're retarded. I can't wait for them. You know, the idea of a call, like a, you know, an outro, doesn't work when you refuse to let me have the last word.
It's my goal in life.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, bye.
Bye.